Dan from the Cult Fiction Podcast, and you're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
That's your robot?
Just I got one.
Well, what does it do?
Anything I want. Give me a juice box, biatch.
Don't do that.
Why not? It's my robot.
You might make it mad.
It's 3 inches tall, punning across the room. It's my robot, the card says.
I never said it wasn't your robot. You don't have to be such a jerk.
Dude, you're just jealous because I have a robot and you don't.
Why would
Emergency.
I want...
Emergency! Emergency! Lifeborn must destroy.
I think he's talking about you.
Howdy. I'm gonna separate your head from your shoulders. Hope you don't mind none.
You put a hurting on us, May, but good.
It was sort of an accident.
Nah, that was sloppy, May. Real sloppy.
Let me do it, Jesse.
Let me tap dance on it, won't you? It'll be so good.
Do it fast.
All right.
Good times roll.
Woo!
No! Tim!
What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, son? It's just coming off. Your face. Clean off.
The sort of people the supreme being allows to steal his map. Look at them. Stunted little pros. I wouldn't even trust them to wipe their own noses.
No, sir. It's much too difficult for them.
What sort of supreme being created such riffraff? Is it not the workings of a complete incompetent?
But he created you, evil one.
What did you say?
Well, he created you, so he can't be totally...
Never talk to me like that again. No one created me. I am evil. Evil existed long before good. I made myself. I cannot be unmade. I am all powerful.
But why, if that's the case, are you unable to escape from this fortress?
It's a good question.
Hi, kids! Welcome to Camp Krusty! I'll see you in a few weeks. Till then, I've turned things over to my bestest buddy in the whole wide world.
Mr. Black.
I want you to treat...
Mr. Black.
...with the same respect you would give me. Now here's...
Mr. Black.
Why aren't you shooting? We're not being shot at yet.
How can you tell?
A hiss means it's close. A snap...
Now they're shooting at us!
I've got skinnies with RPGs at 12 o'clock.
Go!
Can you see
Go!
Them?
Got it. Give me 90 degrees left.
Go!
It's time for changing rooms. I mean, Nowhere in Mulberry. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Film, television, pop culture. That's what we're here to talk about. I am the J-Strom. Welcome to our lair. Steven, the pop culture zealot. How's it going, Steven?
Good. Glad to be back.
It's great to have you here. We missed you last week, although your presence was felt.
I heard. I was listening.
You were. Did you like that?
Yeah.
It was pretty cool,
man. I stayed in the chat room the whole time, and I don't know who this another PCZ Steven was, but...
So you weren't opening it up multiple times?
I only had two. One of them I opened up, and I got kicked off, but it said it was still logged in. So I logged in again, and so I was only two of them.
So one of them was an imposter.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going, Bill? How you's doing? Is your mic muted, Bill?
I'll say he sounded an awful lot like me for a second.
Bill, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, Bill, what's up?
My mic wasn't muted. There was something in the settings. I had to go into audio settings and fix it.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Steven. Bill, he's back.
He is.
Man, we got a lot of mileage out of that one. One word. What? Yeah.
Yeah.
But, hey, guys, I'm glad that all three of us are back. The quartet is back together. We're here to talk about our favorite subjects, which is film, television, pop culture, you know, old cereal commercials, Bill.
Yes.
Video games. Just, you know, important things in life. Am I right, guys?
Yes.
Things we can't go without.
Yes. Things we can't go without. You're right. We've been playing a lot of Bad Company this week, Bill.
Yes, we have.
And I couldn't exactly call it fun the last couple of days. It's more like just getting repeatedly killed.
Yeah, we just kept getting put into these really bad groupings, either with teams that sucked or teams that were just too good.
We actually, not only did we get repeatedly pwned, as they call it, or is it just owned?
I think it's owned, spelled with a P.
But the people playing against us had very vulgar handles on Xbox.
Yes. Yes, like, they did.
Like, we have the, I guess, what do you call it? Like, our squad is called NIM, N-I-M.
Yeah. Anybody who wants to put that before it that plays with us can. And it's me, you, and Zell right now. No one else has added it. I think they're afraid to.
Well, just so you know who we are playing against, their letters were C-U-M.
Yes. And our favorite's name was In Your Mouth.
Yes. So just
so
think about
that. So those two teams got together.
So just think of that. So we had his guild name, or C-U-M, and then his name, so you could see what it said. And I was just like, that's not wrong. What was that about?
There was a couple of them. Sloppy Tuna. Yeah. And there was, and they were good. They were always
at the top
of the rankings.
They were 15-year-olds like, what's the most vulgar name we can come up with?
Yeah, I was telling you, I was thinking about recording them for their names, mainly because they kicked our ass.
Yeah, let's just get them in trouble, Bill. That's all there is
to it. The best moment, though, we have to bring it up, is when you were getting repeatedly killed by In Your Mouth.
Yeah.
And then you went...
I killed him, and I said... I don't even remember what I exactly said, but it didn't sound right.
You said... C-U-M in this mouth.
Yeah. And I go,
we're all just like,
And I'm like, wait, that's not a very good taunt, now that I think about it. Aren't I on the losing end of that? So I thought about that. I was like, wow.
I am evil.
Oh. Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun. Even though we're losing, we're having a good time and laughing our asses off. Am I right? So it was good. Yeah, good times.
Just like having a bitch of a time getting into the chat room.
Really? It's just not hard to log in or something?
You know what? Something with Java isn't working well with my Windows 7 installation, and it'll boot up the chat room and then almost immediately freeze it up. So I'm like trying over and over and over again. I'll get in there eventually.
That there Java? Oh, yeah, Java.
I hate Java.
Yeah, that was last week. I mean, I logged in
and it knocked me out,
but it still said I was logged in.
See,
I think I'm going to switch over to a Flash-based chat room.
So basically what we're telling you is go to nimchat.com and have a good time listening to the show and chatting with people, right?
Yeah, once I figure out this chat room, I just got a message from Mark saying that he's having problems getting into it too. So,
oh, bummer.
Looks like I'm not the only one. So I'm going to try to work on this while I'm doing the show because I'm very good at multitasking.
People could also find our show, like if you see on Twitter, I posted on, and I don't think I did Facebook. But
yeah, that's true. There is a Ustream chat.
Yeah, go to Ustream and you could listen to the feed. Actually, if they're not listening, then they would have. So I couldn't tell them right now. But, you know, Twitter has a link to the Ustream page. They should know by now. I don't know.
And Facebook, right? Because it doubles over.
I didn't this time because I didn't have time to. I was in the new program. I'm using the Ustream producer on my desktop. And I haven't typed in my name and password for Facebook to sync it up. I just didn't have time. But I'll do that. So, yeah, good times.
I need to stop this. I just opened Ustream and I hear you three times.
All right, guys. We have some voicemail this week and not our usual motley crew. We have Luke sending a voicemail. We have Michael sending a voicemail. Who are these guys? I think we've heard from Luke before.
We've heard from Luke, I thought.
Have we?
Yeah, I think so. Let's go.
Does he live on the second floor? Oh, I'm sorry. That's Luca.
Yeah, that's Luca.
But on bump.
No, he lives on Tatooine, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Our depends on what time in the saga it is. He's probably, it was a long time ago.
He's
so.
On Dagobah right now.
Dagobah. Luke.
He's
I do remember this because last time he left a voicemail, I said, kick his ass, Luke. Take his wallet, Luke. Do you remember that old skit, Luke Perry on SNL?
I do.
I think I said all of this. You see, that's why we need to stop doing the show. We're just repeating ourselves. People like listen to old shows. They already said this before. What the hell? It's like we're like old people. We're just saying the same shit over and over again.
I find myself doing that now, too.
Let's check it out. Let's see what Luke has to say.
Hey, Mulberry guys. This is Luke, longtime listener, second time caller. Anyway, just listen to 195. Great show as always. Love the apprentice talk. I was wondering, are you guys like me? Whenever I see Carol Leifer, I think she looks like Michael Showalter in drag. Like,
yikes.
She just looks like Michael Showalter put on a weird red wig and started doing unfunny comedy.
became a lesbian also.
I know you guys don't usually talk about comedy shows, but I wanted to know if you guys watched Community on NBC. It's only in its first season, but like it's snuck up on me and become like a show that I look forward to watching every week, and I think it could be a treasure trove of drops for you guys. But with my luck, you guys probably hate it. Anyway, looking forward to the show on Friday. Hope you guys have a good one. Hope Steven and Bill are both present.
Me too.
And that reminds me, I had an idea for show 200. You guys should get Vanessa on and try to annoy her so much that she actually quits mid-show.
I like that.
Like, I don't know what you would do, just talk about how Judge Judy's an old bitch or whatever. I think it would be a lot of fun for everybody. Maybe not Vanessa, but whatever. So I guess I'll go ahead and end this horrible, horrible voicemail. Save it by doing what Rick says every week and talking about beers and boobies. Oh, that was terrible. That was a mistake. Anyway, sorry about that. All right, bye.
I like self-deprecating Luke there.
And Rick has fans, too.
If Vanessa came back on the show, I couldn't do that to her. Come on, it's my sister. If it was maybe some person.
Oh, give it about 15 minutes and you'll start playing along.
It's like, oh, wait, it's all coming.
Yep.
You hear that Lost flashback sound of it?
Just wondered, does she ever listen?
No, she doesn't. But you know what? I wouldn't mind having Vanessa back for episode 200, but you never know. Yeah, I do watch Community every week, and I enjoy the show. I think it's crazy. It's irreverent. I like the world that it inhabits, I guess. In a way, the tone reminds me a little of Ed, Bill.
Does it really?
Yeah, I think it's gotten really good as the season's gone on. I think
damn it, are you going to make me watch this?
I genuinely like it. Whenever it's over, I'm like, man, I really like that show. I like the cast and the way they interact with each other. It's very, there's a lot of, I don't know. It's just like, it's not obvious type of references.
Okay.
It's more out there.
It's not
there.
Like Chuck, where they try to like beat you over the head with geek references.
No, it's there's the weird Indian guy on the show. And there's this one moment where someone knocks over a bag of bagels and he just leans over real quick. See, he leans over and he goes, eight. And it's like a Rain Man reference, but they don't call any more attention to that. He just looks over at the overturned bag of meal, eight, and he kind of turns away. And,
you know, I've been watching Chuck weekly now for some reason. And
yeah, I have too.
Is it bothering anyone else that the fight scenes are horrible? Like really, really stiff?
I don't know. I guess I've come to expect what they do with it on the show. I enjoy Chuck.
I mean, I'm just asking in that... Is that on purpose? Is it supposed to look fakey and obvious that it's not him?
I think the show borderlines on comedy and kind of action-y kind of thing.
Kind of wondering is like it seems kind of like sometimes it seems more real than others. You know,
mm-hmm.
It kind of mixes that blend.
Yeah, it kind of is. I would say it's on a thin line, a razor thin Occam's razor going there.
Well, I don't know. The simplest explanation is the correct
exactly,
one.
Bill. So what I'm saying by that is, Bill, is that yes, they're trying to make it look phony. Occam's
okay.
razor.
All right.
Aha!
It's like you posted this week on Twitter. Somebody asked you what shows you watch, and you posted
yes.
all these shows. And I'm like, shit, I don't watch any of these.
Yeah, I do. Like, I genuinely do like Chuck. I like the sense of humor on it, and it doesn't hurt that Yvonne Strahovski is.
That's the only reason I watch
gorgeous.
It. She's dreamy.
Just dreamy.
I saw a show, and I don't know if you've ever watched it. Billy the Exterminator.
Billy the Exterminator. What's that? Is it a British show?
No, or? No. It's a reality show.
Oh, okay. No.
If you want to think of it like Dog the Bounty Hunter, except it's a Louisiana
oh, my God.
Animal
I'm looking
catcher.
At pictures of it right now.
It reminds me a lot of the Cake Boss.
Really?
And his mom is the answering lady. Billy, you need to go over here to this house.
Like,
and they've got raccoons.
Yeah,
you
I've seen
to,
this,
you
Steven.
See this guy. Oh, my God.
I'll check it out.
It's hilarious because, I mean, exactly like Cake Boss, he'll repeat everything his mom just told him on the phone that they've mm-hmm. just said. You know, well, you know, the thing with raccoons is...
You know what I think
this
is funny?
This guy's got to be in his late 40s, and he's got, like, a spiked mullet, and he wears all those, like, tap-out type clothes with skulls,
yeah.
And this is sad.
I watched this before, and I didn't know what it was called, but... This guy has bees, like, who've nested in the side of his home.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls them, and Billy the Exterminator kills the bees. They were like honeybees, and they had honeycombs in there. And I was
oh,
like,
no.
I was like, wait, hold on a second. I thought bees were, like, really important. And you
they're
get
endangered right now.
You get beekeepers out there, and they take it or whatever. But he was like... I can't remember how he did it, but he, like, tore it all out and everything, and he might
tool.
Have even gotten a bee dude to help him. I don't know, but maybe there was some kind of weird strain of killer bees or something, and I just wasn't paying attention, but
somebody call PETA!
Just kind of reminded me of Cake Boss, but
I'll definitely check it
this
out.
This animal version, you know, it's like, every time, you know, mom calls up.
Is it like Buddy, that brown water, kind of? Like, voiceover?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, guys, we got another voicemail, this one from Michael. Let's check it out.
Hey there, Mulberry. This is Michael in Ireland, also known as Festoon on the forum. I don't post very much, and when I do post, I say things like, hey, it's going to be a short post. You can think of me as Rick's ancestor. who didn't steal things and get deported to Australia. So said that I've been threatening a male for a long, long time on Facebook, and I said I put one in, and you're probably expecting interesting, entertaining, informative. This is none of those things. Okay? Instead, you can laugh at my accent, and I just wanted to say,
we'd never
hey,
do that.
I absolutely love the show. Always do. Always cracks me up. The last couple of weeks have just been crazy. Not quite sure how Jason and Stephen managed to get through a show without Bill. Because, you know, Bill talks a lot. Sorry, Bill.
I do.
But, hey, I like it. But at the same time, I do like when Stephen actually speaks up a bit more and actually, you know, gets involved. Because Stephen's got some really crazy theories. I think Stephen should have his own slot on home protection and security or something.
I thought he meant like Lost.
You could call it the paranoia section or something. That'd be cool. But aside from that, sorry, I'm amusing myself. Somebody has to, right? I'm recording this plug directly into my laptop on a crappy Sony mini disc microphone that has outlived the mini disc player of which it was once attached to. Okay, this is a dull mail, but hey, I made the effort. I called in. I feel sorry that I don't write enough on the forum, and I noticed that not too many people did after last week's epic show, but I do have that long-standing theory, and this is a really, really important long-standing theory. The longer the show, sometimes it takes longer for people to get through it during the week, and they don't actually get, you know, the time to actually to process what's happened in it. And there's so many things that have cracked me up in the show recently. One of the big ones is that Jason very, very recently made a statement where his voice actually turned into Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. He actually kind of finished it with that, you know, that Shaggy tone. Typical. There was a break there and drove Jason mad by constantly posting things on the forum saying, where's that clip? Where's that clip? Where's that clip? I'm going to leave it there. But still, you know what? Holy shit. It's a voicemail. Holy shit. Fantastic. And I'm not so sure in this clip, but I may have left a couple of the classic Irish verbal pause, which is am. So we say am a lot, and it's usually dragged out to about 20 seconds. You thought I was going to leave that for 20 seconds, didn't you? Ha! Anyway, cheers, guys. Now it's time for an entertaining voicemail from Rick from Australia.
Well, thanks, Michael. Yeah, I remember now what you're talking about is... on the forum, he asked for a very specific moment in an intro of the knives and stabbing weapons on what's that guy's show? What was?
Oh, was that Michael?
Yeah, Festoon.
It was what's his name?
Toby. Toby's show.
Toby. Yes.
Nocturnal
Toby
Emissions.
Too.
And it was when Andy called and did the knives and stabbing weapons, and I was like, "Oh, that's episode." And I was like, "What episode is that?" And I went back like one day. I went all the way back to like episode 100, and I was like, I give up. I don't know where the hell it is. Then one day, I think Zell or somebody said it's episode 97, and I was like, damn it! It's like I quit. Just I was almost there, but I gave up.
It was one of the brothers Anderson. It was either Zell or Mark, or I'm Zell or Mark, the but same guy. Mark or Steven.
I was just like, well, maybe it's on after the show. I was like, I don't know. Maybe I never did. I can't remember. Like, I honestly, if I've never repeated myself on an intro, like use the same TV show theme twice or something, it's shocking because I can't remember anything anymore. I don't know what's going on. I'll start to think, no, I don't think I have used this. Like, there's some Near Dark in the intros. Like, have I ever used this scene in the movie?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I've used Near Dark before, but not that scene. So it's just like, I start to like doubt everything.
Put a hurting on us, but good.
There's so much to it, though. I mean, it'd be kind of hard to repeat yourself unless it's just like a favorite moment.
Well, you know what I need to do is have like a good 10 intros and just recycle them over and over again.
That would work.
Check out time.
Exactly. You know, you got to add the Wilhelm scream to every clip. But the one thing about intros that's addictive is I always like finding that, oh, I remember the scene in the movie. Hey, that would go great in the intro. I have fun doing that. I'll be somewhere, I'm bored somewhere, and I'll think of a scene, and I'll be like, oh, that'll be great for the intro. And other times I'll get home, and I'll go, what movie was that I thought of? And I can't remember, and it drives me nuts.
And you got to Twitter it to yourself.
You're right, I do. Hey, Jason, remember this. But, you know, I don't even think of that. That's just, I'm lazy. It's really sad, guys. I don't know what to do.
It was funny. There were moments while we were playing Bad Company this week where we were saying things, and then at the end, after we played it, you're like, what were we saying?
Yeah, and I was like,
I can't remember.
There's a good movie thing there, and I was just like, it's like, I can't remember.
So you're pulling,
that was sloppy, real sloppy.
You're pulling a Steven. You can't remember anything.
It's like, I can't remember.
Never mind.
But I'm trying to remember now, Bill, what we were talking about. Oh, it was Nick Cage, wasn't it? It was The Rock.
Oh, yes.
It was like, how do you like how that shit works? Like, whenever we killed somebody in the game, we said, how do you like how that shit works? Just like over and over again. It was great. But now we'll do the...
Righteous Kill.
Yeah. That was with Bad Company, the first game. Everything was Righteous Kill.
Well, it's because they had the stupid electronic billboards up everywhere.
Right, they had in-game advertising, Steven, and it would be like...
I don't like how that shit works!
Like Righteous Kill, you'd see, like, what's Al Pacino's face doing in this game?
Yeah, it's one thing if it's a game like Burnout Paradise, where they have billboards while you're driving. Yeah, it's another thing entirely to have billboards for movies or TV shows in a battlefield.
Yeah, it's like some third world country. It's like, Fringe? Really? That premieres next week? Okay.
Just letting you know, Fringe is coming back.
All right, guys. I have a voicemail from Rick. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. It's Rick here, and I'm ready to rock. Yeah. Oh, wow, man. Last week, my voicemail, holy crap. I don't know what happened. I sent it out, and I was like, yeah, that'll do, whatever. And then after hearing your guys' reaction, I was like, holy crap, I've sounded like the saddest mother in the world. But I thought at the time that I didn't sound that sad, but holy crap. Anyway, I finished a month of drinking, and I've also finished 3 beers. So I'm in a good place right now. Yeah, Jason, I can't drink just one because I... like to get tipsy. Not drunk as much, but yeah, I like that too. But I drink to get tipsy because I'm naturally an uptight kind of person. And, you know, alcohol helps me break through the barriers that I put up for myself. And I'm the happiest drunk in the world. So it's not a problem. That's why I keep drinking. But I do everything for the effect anyway, so that's why I drink, you know, I eat food for the energy it gives me. I breathe air because it helps me survive. I drink water because it hydrates me. I drink beer because the way it affects me. So that's not a bad thing, is it? You know, I don't enjoy the taste of food as much. Either, like, I'll eat stuff just for the energy. I'll just cook up a bunch of stuff, mash it up. All right, yeah, eat that. I don't care what it tastes like. It's doing its job. Yeah, I'm all right now because I finished my month off drinking, and now I can have a couple of beers, send a voicemail, and sound happy again. Not like I wasn't happy before, but I'm just sounding happier when I'm drunk. And at the end of last week's voicemail, I sent that der-der-der-der thing where I thought it was really easy to understand, but apparently you, like, didn't understand at all. But you have to go back and listen to it, and then you'll probably go, oh, yeah, that's what he said. Sweet. But what I said was, this is what I would sound like if I was a robot. I would be disappointed with my speech programming and demand an upgrade. That's what I said, but and when I listened to it, I was like, yep. That's what I said. Yeah, and I am so friggin' tempted to buy a 360. I've got no idea why I would do that because I don't need to waste any more money than I already do. And if I could get used to pick a movie for me to review, that would be sweet because I really miss doing that. And when I was listening to some old episodes last night, I was like, oh, man, I miss doing reviews and just saying funny shit about the movies. So if you could... Oh, holy crap, I am wasted, and I love it. You know, I really do like being drunk, and I can tell other people love it when I'm drunk too, because they seem to smile a lot, and that's a good thing, I suppose. They don't cower in the corner and go, "Stop hitting me! Stop hitting me!" like some other drunks I know. No, not really. I don't know anyone like that, but I'm sure there are some people who are not like that, I can assure you. I'm a really happy, really friendly drunk when I do get drunk. And I don't drink and drive, and I don't drink while I'm at work, so I'm not an alcoholic. And I like the way that I talk.
Nice.
Sometimes when I'm doing a voice that's not supposed to be me, and some sort of random skit in the future of a weirdness. No, I'm just not. Man, so far this episode has been great, man. I'm listening live, and I just want to say now that this episode is awesome. Okay?
Our
really loving it, okay? Yeah, I'm getting into this shit like a motherfucker. Yeah, baby, show me your... I want to see it. What the hell? I'm just chewing on the microphone, man. That's just crazy shit. No one does that. I'm insane. Yeah, and I love that on the enhanced feed, how you put pictures of beer when you started talking about beer. Wow. And I was that actually makes sense, Rick. And I still found it awesome.
Should have put a hamburger.
Why do you find that so funny, Rick? That makes absolute sense. Like, yeah, but he's talking about beer and there's pictures of beer on the enhanced feed. So it's fun.
All different kinds of beer.
Wow, simple things, right, guys? You know it. Ass play. But I was cracking up when I was listening to the show and you thought I was really sad. And you're like, cheer up, Rick. I'm worried about Rick. I was like, man, I didn't remember being that sad. But still, I'm glad they care about me. It shows like a really family spirit around this place and I appreciate it. So thank you and I'll catch you guys later. This was Rick from Australia. Yeah, I like it how I've taken Australia. If anyone else calls in, they're like, I'm so-and-so from Australia. I'm like, no, screw you, I'm from Australia. I bag this place.
I'm so-and-so from Rick's anyway. Australia.
Yeah, because in America, you're like, oh, I'm from this state or this state or this state or this city. I bags all of Australia. That's mine. I'm Rick from Australia. Yeah, you want to be from somewhere? You pick somewhere else, man. I got Australia. Thanks, guys. See you later. I love you guys. Bye.
Thanks, Rick. Nice stream of consciousness voice.
Yeah, there you go.
That one's going in the book. All right.
That, would you call that Rick's denial voicemail? I'm not an alcoholic. Here's the reasons why.
I like it.
Sounds good.
How do you like how that shit works?
Oh, it's great. Well, thank you, Rick, very much. Guys, let's get into entertainment. All right, a few movies came out this week, and I plan on actually seeing Hot Tub Time Machine. What do you guys think, huh?
Yeah, I'd go see it.
Looks pretty silly.
I don't know. I'll probably wait for the... if I was, like, going with you guys, I'd go see it, but I'll wait for the DVD. I don't like going to comedies by myself. It's depressing.
I promised Heather I'd take her to see it because she loves John Cusack. But also,
oh, she does?
Yeah, but also I promised Emma to take her to see How to Train Your Dragon.
Huh? I've heard nothing but good things about that.
It looks really cool, but you know what's weird? All I can think about is Dragon Brain from the fake movie that's in Grand Theft Auto. They killed the effing dragon! But, no one knows what I'm talking about.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Dragon Brain. But yeah, this looks cool, and it supposedly rocks in 3D, so I'll get to see it in 3D, but it's also in 2D, just so you guys know. I love that Clash of the Titans commercial where it says, also in 2D. Oh, whew.
Thank goodness. I don't have to wear those goofy glasses.
Oh, God. Yeah. Also in muddy 3D.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Also.
The Kraken.
Release the Kraken. Now, Bill and I have a joke going on during the week. Whenever it's time to go to the bathroom for a bit, release the Kraken. That's our new thing. Whenever you got to go to the bathroom, all right, time to release the Kraken. I'll be right back. I think that's what Zeus is talking about. He turns around and goes into the toilet after that
scene. He has to take a massive dump.
Release the Kraken! And you hear the toilet flush.
Man, it used to be drop a deuce. Now it's release the Kraken.
But think about it. Zeus, I bet he tears that mug up.
I wonder Poseidon's pissed off.
It's like, you know where that crap goes? Straight into the ocean. Oh, that's why he's pissed.
You're literally killing all the fish.
Literally release the Kraken. God, I love it. You know, but I gotta say, man, Clash of Titans looks really cool to me, where I'll be entertained by it.
It looks fun.
I don't demand enough and much. I don't demand much from my films except just don't be really gay. And I don't mean as sexual. I mean lame.
Don't be homosexual.
Yeah. I watched Spartacus. There's some gay stuff in there. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'll go along with this gay stuff. But I just mean don't be lame.
Yeah,
all right?
The gay stuff is off balanced by very hetero stuff.
Yeah, basically there's lots of nude men, but there's also lots of nude women. So it's like,
you know, it's an equal opportunity pleaser, I guess.
Totally.
Gravitas.
Yeah, there's lots of gravitas, Bill. I think that's what we were going for there. I think.
Yeah, that works.
So anyway, what else came out, Bill? This movie Chloe. Is that the Liam Neeson film?
Yeah, Liam Neeson and
Julianne Moore.
Yes, Julianne Moore and Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah, Seyfried.
She's like a whore and something.
Yeah, basically what it's about is Julianne Moore wants to see if her husband Liam Neeson will cheat on her, so she pays this girl to hit on him. But she's like, this dude's got money, he's hot, and she goes ahead and continues a relationship with him. But at the same time, she's like making out with Julianne Moore or something. I'm like, what?
It's one of those Adam McGoyan movies. He loves that crazy erotic shit.
What's weird is at the end of the trailer to this, Liam Neeson again says, "Release the Kraken!"
Yep, and then he zips down his pants and she gets on her knees.
No, he goes to the toilet. Oh. Julianne Moore and Amanda Seyfried both go, "Oh," when he says it. Like, "Oh,
not again."
Time to release the Kraken. He always turns towards the camera when he says it, too. All right, we got it. I think we need a drop of Release the Kraken is what we need.
Yeah.
Can't believe we don't have that.
I have had the worst diarrhea of my goddamn life.
Oh, dude. Don't tell us about it. He totally released the Kraken, didn't he?
He did. He Kraken the toilet.
You put a Kraken in the seat. All right, guys. That's enough humor like that, right?
Goddamn, dude.
All right, one more. God, I love that guy.
That is the best clip ever.
You know, I actually took the time. I don't have time on show days to do this because we have a lot of clips and stuff to do, but I had to go back in time and retrieve this clip from an old Tool Academy.
Spread my chocolate all over that gold.
Yeah, I was like, yeah! I needed that clip so bad. I just had to go back and get it, but... All right, let's see. Those movies all sound great. I want to watch all three of them. I'm going to watch the Chloe one alone, though. So what do you got?
Yeah.
All right,
what
guys.
I understand, she gets naked, so yeah.
Ooh, Julianne Moore naked? I mean,
no.
You've seen that before.
Yeah, been there, honey. Seen it.
Yeah.
Move on. Moving on. Move along. Move along. All right, guys, let's check out what is on our TiVo. On, yes.
Mr. Black.
Yeah. What is on our TiVo? Before we talk about the season finale of Seducing Cindy, is this the series finale? Because
God, I hope
if
so.
A relationship,
I don't think I
can
suffer through another one.
Unless the 23-year-old doesn't work out.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's not.
Well, that's, yeah.
But that crazy bitch, Kirstie Alley, was on the Rachel Ray show. You know, I like Rachel Ray on her show where she travels to different restaurants or whatever. She's like on vacation. I forget what it's called. But this show she has on CBS is lame as hell. I remember one day I watched it because a buddy was going to be on it. And he's like, guess what? Everybody in the audience gets a copy of my Cake Boss DVD. And they're all like, it's like, oh, golf clap, huh? It's like,
I can't wait.
You see a special clip there of my sister Mary or something. But Kirsty was on Rachel Ray talking about karma and the fact that, you know, people make fun of her and her weight, but karma plays tricks on them too, because Conan, one of the people that's always made fun of her for being fat, he doesn't have a show anymore, so
oh,
poo-poo on him. Let's check this out. Ugh.
I'm also amazed by you because you're very at ease in even uncomfortable positions and, and circumstances.
Huh?
You're out promoting the show. You got to do the late night talk circuit.
Yeah.
It's tough facing people that literally made a living making fun of you and have ribbed you more than once.
It is, you know? Sort of. But, you know, really, most of those people have had, they've been in some pickles themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you, and some people overdo it a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't want to say names, Conan O'Brien. And I don't want to say the word karma, but he doesn't have a show, and I do.
We
got paid a lot more for their show.
Yeah, really.
Any
young life form must destroy.
Conan got paid a lot more for not doing a show than you got paid for doing a show.
Yeah, that's that retarded Scientology karma.
That's what I was like going. Scientologist.
It's like karma? Scientology?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think more like your goons from the Scientology Center had Conan fired is what's going on. I'm starting to think this is what's going on, Bill. What do you think?
It was a fair game tactic.
I don't like this Scientology business. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
But I was like, whatever.
Yeah. She really just completely talks out of her fat ass.
There was something on about Joey Behar. Joey Behar. Her name is Joy, but I always say Joey Behar.
Well, that's because she looks like a man.
What did she say on Twitter about her? I can't even remember now. She called her like a...
I think she called her the... Did she call her the C word, or was that Kirstie Alley that called Joy Behar the C word?
I can't remember. It's crazy C word or something. But let's briefly talk about Seducing Cindy. And the reason I say briefly is it was all like lovey-dovey and there was no comic hilarity on it. Except for when Cindy said the first time she was ever proposed, you know, for her first marriage, it was really lame what her husband did, how he proposed to her.
Let's really classy guy.
He sounds like a real winner. I'm wondering why they got divorced.
Everyone in the house knows how my ex-husband proposed to me. On the way to a Laker game, he called me on his cell phone and asked me to marry him. And then when I said yes, he went to the Laker game and came and saw me after, which is not the most romantic story that you want to tell your kids and your grandkids. You know what that means to me? Layton gave me the proposal that I have been waiting for my whole entire life.
Holy shit.
You know, when they went on 3 dates. Each guy had to go on a date, and then she'd pick who she was in love with. But what
that
happened,
sounds so wrong.
I know they were like, I love Cindy. But that one guy late, and he goes, I'm going to buy her an engagement ring and propose to her. I was like, dude, bad idea. I was like embarrassed. And when he's like, I want to show you something, he gets down on his knee. I actually like closed my eyes because it's so embarrassing.
Unleash the Kraken.
Unleash the Kraken. And he opens it up and it's a ring. She's like, well, that's an odd proposal. But of course, she turns him down, but says she'll just date him. So, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I guess I looked in online, and she's currently single. So,
oh, you mean it didn't work out? No,
I guess it just wasn't meant to be.
But I'm hoping that we see Jeffrey James on like another reality show, like Survivor or something like that.
Wouldn't The Bachelor.
Wouldn't he be perfect?
The Bachelor.
Wouldn't he be perfect for like Survivor though? Could you see him? He's like, I'm a Spec Ops.
He could
ops
use
medic.
All his Spec Ops training.
He could do karate and stuff. Really? I mean, that guy was a douche, but as soon as he left the show, the like energy in the show like went away, didn't it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It completely nosedived.
Renew and invigorate my soul.
Exactly.
I, you know, I regularly try to reinvigorate my soul.
Yeah, how do you do that, by the way?
It's tough, but it's worth it.
Now, I got to talk about Tool Academy now, guys, because there was some goal on Tool Academy. And it was confusing because I swear they didn't air last week's episode, but it was online where you could watch it. And I'm confused about the order these were in.
Yeah, so, you got me all screwed up.
So let's just talk about the finance guy. They had a guy who he's an expert in finances, and he came to give them little talks about finances. And it's pretty hilarious how...
I wonder if he came to talk to them about finances.
Yeah, he's a finance guy.
Oh, okay. So he came to talk to him about finances.
He wrote a book on finances.
It's a refrigerator truck.
And you balance your checkbook in there. So let's go ahead and check this out where he talks to them about their what, Stephen?
Finances?
Yeah.
I'm a best-selling author on success, business, and personal finance. Nothing is really more mature than becoming financially stable. Well, let's look at what you said a few weeks ago about how you would spend your $100,000.
If you got 100 G's, what would you do with 100 G's? You're going to sit there and wipe your ass with it? I'd probably wipe my ass a couple pies with it just to say I wipe my ass with the money, yeah.
You're 25 years old, spend more money than you make, $7,000 in credit card debt, and you live with mom and daddy. Is that right?
Yeah.
Seriously, Angela, that's pitiful. Poor people will always be poor because they make stupid decisions. Write that down.
Write that down.
I would buy a house or I would open up a cannabis club in Las Vegas.
Is that legal in Las Vegas?
Gosh, I don't know.
Okay, let me give you one word. No! It's get a plan. Make a decision for your life to change. Write that down.
What would I do with 100 G's? First and foremost, I'm going to party like a rock star. I'm going to chase the Mexican women. I'm still going to act like a damn fool.
You know, that's what a 13-year-old says. I'm telling you right now, forget how you're going to get rich. Forget how you're going to get out of debt. How you do it is not as important as why you do it. And once you know why it's important for you to change, the how comes easy.
Fireworks going off, big-ass bottles with little midgets swirling inside there. And I'll go crazy with $100,000.
That's awesome.
How much you spend partying?
Probably about $600.
So you piss away a couple of grand a month.
Yeah.
Pretty financially stable. $100,000 could do damage, especially in the right hands. I should write that down.
You're acting like you're a kid, and you're 23 years old. You're a grown-ass man.
You're a grown-ass
man. My girlfriend, Rachel, she does help me out with money, but if I win $100,000, I don't want her to know. And she's going to think that she has a right to that money.
You're willing to lie to somebody that's been giving you $200 a week. Y'all be ashamed on that part. Is a job just, like, totally out of the question?
I had a job. I quit that a few months ago.
Shouldn't you have found a new job before you quit your old job? Write that down.
$100,000, I'd probably buy a bunch of clothes.
Tan a little bit, spray tan.
I don't even know what I would do with $100,000.
How much do you spend every single month tanning?
$200 a month.
You live in Florida. They have sun there, too, don't they? Why don't you just skip the tan until you get your bills paid and put some money away?
Well, maybe there could be a balance.
A balance between what, stupid and smart?
Larry's trying to show me about money. I should show Larry how to spray tan. He's pale as a ghost. He should go tan.
This is my number one
rule
about money. Money always goes to what's really important to you. Everybody write this one down. You put some columns. This is for my bills. And then you put a column over the far right-hand side, and that column's called stupid. And you're going to figure out you spend a lot of money in stupid ways. So what you all need to do is make a new decision about what's really important. Write that down. Class dismissed.
Thank you.
All the best, Nico.
That dude's a hustler, legally. I love him.
I don't know. I thought that guy was hilarious.
He's awesome. Write that down.
Write that down. But what's with those dudes in spray tanning? They, like, all love spray tanning.
I guess maybe they just don't want cancer.
I guess.
Yeah, but what's the chemical in the spray tan going to give you?
Well, what that one guy's cancer? Talking about doing something to his eyebrows, Bill. What is that? He's like, he needs to thread his eyebrows or something?
I honestly have no idea what's going on there.
It's the weird, goofy, I guess.
Oh, Angelo?
No, not Angelo. It's the guy with the spiky hair. He said he wants to get his eyebrows threaded, and they're like, dude, I thought you were going to stop all that stuff. And he was like, well, no. You know what's funny is on this episode, two guys got kicked off, and one of them was Tommy, but it was for different reasons. He wasn't like he was just a tool and he's out of there. It was because his girlfriend decided that he was never going to change, and she just wanted to go home because he was a jackass. And I thought that was hilarious.
Holy there's a mouse.
Yeah. I love Tommy.
It scared the out of me.
Now, what's funny about this, what's really sad about this is he's like, what's going on, baby? What's going on? She's like, I just feel like you're never going to change. And I don't want to be here on the show anymore if we're not really going to try to work at this and stay together. So I'm just saying maybe we should go our separate ways. And he's like, all right. Trina's like, well, what do you have to say to her about that, Tommy? He's like, I got a girlfriend right now on the side. I've been seeing her. I've been having sex with her. Just thought you should know that. And he's just like, what? He like just said that just to be a dick.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, I guess your relationship's never going to get back together now. How do you feel about this? He's like, whatever. It's like, what a dick.
Yeah, he's a member of the United States of whatever.
He's a class act, man.
Holy there's a mouse.
Yeah, Tommy, yeah.
All right, let's get back to this.
I'm going to miss that guy, man.
That was one of the greatest moments on that show.
Trina, look, man, a mouse.
Now, yeah, and she said, oh, I've seen that one before.
Like, right.
Oh, really?
And then, okay, the guy with the spiky hair who wants his eyebrows, whatever, he got kicked off too because he's a jackass, right? So let's cut to this week, Bill, where they have – remember last season they had the lie detector. Do you guys remember mm-hmm. that? They set them down and they got asked questions. This season they have a lie expert. Have you ever watched the show Lie to Me with Tim Roth where he can tell you're lying mm-hmm. just by looking at your mannerisms? Right. This chick –
does the same thing.
Same thing. I think what happened is the producers saw Lie to Me and they're like, yeah.
That's genius.
Let's do some of that shit this season. So let's go ahead and check this out because it's hilarious how she detects the lying. And I love she had a little light pen too, Bill, where she would draw an arrow to their little gesture. It was great.
Nice. In this exercise, I'll be
asking
a series of questions generated by their partners. As they give their answers, Dr. Glass will be closely monitoring their body language in order to determine the veracity of their responses.
Okay, Kevin, these are questions that Jamaica has asked. Please answer them honestly. So, first question, what are you doing on the road?
Flirting with women. And I had a chick
give me oral sex.
Oh, Kevin.
He's telling the truth. When he takes his hands out of his pocket, it's like he's trying to be truthful here. And he is.
Genevieve, are you happy with your sex life?
Sometimes I am happy with my sex life.
No, she's not. She is not.
I am.
She's leaning forward too much. She's pleading to accept what she said.
Do you trust Dana when she goes out with her girlfriends?
I don't trust Dana when she goes out with her girlfriends. Because of my own insecurities.
He's telling the truth. His facial expressions, his body language, his tone of voice all match up. He's telling the truth.
Are you going to stop partying without Christy on the weekends?
Partying?
Yes.
He's lying. He's looking up and he's lip licking. Yes. The body doesn't lie.
The next question is, do you think Christy is below you?
No.
Oh, lie. He had to think about that. And you can see right now he's wringing his hands. He's worried the truth will be known.
Are you going to resent Christy if she goes out with you more?
No.
I think he's lying here because he looked down. And look at the eye twitch, the head movement. He's using a lot more tells of deception. He is definitely not telling us the truth.
Okay, lady, calm down. Jeez.
Okay, thank you for telling us.
little squeaky noise the pen makes. It.
Well, I'm going to go back a second. The last episode, when they were talking about what they do with the $100,000, did Tommy say he wanted midgets swirling in bottles?
Awesome. Yeah,
little midgets swirling inside there.
What the hell is he talking about?
He wants Houdini midgets.
I think he can do that shit now. He doesn't need no $100,000.
Go ahead and refresh nimchat.com. I put a different chat room in there, so it's working now.
Oh, nice. And you know what? Once you're listening, you can hear us.
Spread my chocolate all over Cancun.
Yeah.
That's a completely inappropriate way to release your Kraken.
It's some of that chocolate whip spread, Bill. Put some of that marshmallow
is
spread
that ready
on
whip?
It, too. Yeah, kind of like that.
It's ready, all right.
Yikes.
A balance between what, stupid and smart?
So, you know,
that guy cracks me up.
Who got kicked off? Oh, Kevin, the guy who spreads his chocolate all over Cancun. Unfortunately, he got kicked off because they did the Fidelity episode where they confessed, like, yeah, I cheated on you. He held all that in, and he told her about it now because of this lie detector shit. So he's like, yeah, I got some oral sex, whatever. She's like, oh, Kevin, I'm so disappointed in you. And later on, he's like, hey, look, I got your ring. So why don't you put the ring on, let bygones be bygones, and we'll work through this. She was like, no, it doesn't work like that. And he's like, no, I told you that I won't do it again. I just want to save our marriage, so put the ring on. She's like, no, I don't think so.
Put the ring on, bitch.
Spread my chocolate all over Cancun.
But he gets kicked off for being a jackass, but then she does go off with him, so who knows? That's crazy. Yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about Kitchen Nightmares, Bill, because it was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yes.
What was the name of the restaurant?
Mama Rita's.
Mama Rita's. And I just have this little brief clip here where Gordon Ramsay sits down. The place is a lush, beautiful Mexican restaurant. I mean, nothing needs to be changed about the decor at all. Whoever put it together, what did she spend, $1.5 million on it, Bill, she said?
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's
and
a gorgeous place. The outside's beautiful. The inside's nice.
The only problem is how they make the food, which is freeze it disgusting. Like a month ago, 2 months ago, and then thaw it out. So let's go ahead and check this part out.
What's going on? I'm amazing. How are you?
And you are?
Brad.
Brad, good to see you. How long have you been here?
From the beginning.
From the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe how plush this place is.
I know. It's like, don't judge a book by its cover, because you walk in here and you see this gorgeous place, but Mama Rita's doesn't live up to its expectations.
If you can navigate me around, there's stuff to stay away from.
Malotes, taquitos, empanadas, de pollo.
Crazy cicadas.
Yeah. And why would I stay away from them?
Just because I just think they're really dry.
I respect your honesty. Thank you. I'll bear that in mind.
You got it.
Holy crap.
That's really scary.
Within 5 minutes, been in the restaurant and then told what to stay away from the head waiter. Ay, ay, ay. Hot sauce.
Ay, ay, ay.
This is Cheryl. This is my manager.
And you manage the kitchen and the front of the house?
Her banana
front of the house.
What's your
part? Catering. I do catering as well.
What's wrong with the place?
Lack of customers.
So why have we got lacking customers?
We need more customers.
There's
cicadas
everywhere.
We'll figure out how to get more people in here.
They're flying in the food. No wonder you don't got
you're
customers.
The manager?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. A manager didn't even know what's wrong with the restaurant. It's scary.
That is you.
Okay.
Look forward to catching you up. Not with the manager. Thank you. The manager that doesn't know what's wrong.
I don't know what answer he wanted. I mean, what was wrong with that?
Lack of customers. Brilliant. That's a great insight, isn't it? Right. Here we go.
I did like that. Why is it the restaurant isn't doing well? Because we don't have customers. Oh, okay. That's good to know.
I have no idea. Good thing I came here to figure this out.
Wow. So anyway, it turns out everything's frozen, and the girl who's the chef does not know how to be a chef. She's not a chef at all.
She also doesn't know how to speak English.
Yeah, that was kind of sad, wasn't it? I mean, I didn't feel sorry for her because obviously she's getting a paycheck every week.
Yeah.
For basically
crap.
Doing a half-assed job.
Yep.
But That there's a part where he's like, you know, is she a friend or is she your employee? She's my employee. Wrong. She's a friend. And he walks away. And she's like, oh, okay. But when the girl starts crying, the manager or the owner lady, she's like, it's going to be okay. And she's like bawling. It's like, what the hell is wrong?
Is she consoling her for her sake?
I need a hug.
You're fired, but I love you.
That's pitiful.
Yeah, I agree, finance guy. finance guy. Did I tell you guys about that? Oh, yeah, I did, didn't I?
Yeah, it's a finance guy where he does finances.
If you're going to sit there and wipe your ass with it, I'd probably wipe my ass with a couple of pies. I wouldn't just say I wipe my ass with some money, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to wipe your ass with some money.
That guy sounds like the kid from The Sandlot. Yeah, yeah. I was wondering how long that would go.
I don't remember this.
That's one of those movies I watched over and over again when I was younger.
All I know is this, man.
Spread my chocolate all over that
girl. Yeah! So, would we talk some Celebrity Apprentice, or do we take a break real quick, Stevens?
We take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break. All right, let's do it. And you know what you're going to see when we're gone?
Little midget swirling inside there.
Yeah! I don't know what that means. All right, everybody, we'll be right back.
That dude's a hustler.
No, none of that's true. It's all baloney.
And now, these messages.
Hey, Smurfs, let's surprise Papa with breakfast in bed.
Yeah! Smurfberry Crunch is fun to eat. A Smurfy fruity breakfast treat.
It's all fiber too, Papa Smurf.
Smurfberry Crunch cereals, a very Smurfy part of this nutritious breakfast.
Slam Shifters Countdown Crossfire. You have to put it together.
You don't push them, you slam.
Slam Shifters. They're tough, they're hot. You can race across the bridge, barreling down the track. You're neck and neck. You keep on slam shifting until the flag goes up. The bridges get higher. Your car makes the last jump. His car crashes.
I win!
Slam Shifters Countdown Crossfire comes with everything you see from ID.
Just one Cocoa Krispies taste sends you to this chocolatey place. A jungle team in the chocolate that goes snap, crackle, pop a lot. Cocoa Krispies taste so fine, it's like swinging from a cocoa vine. Splashing in a chocolate waterfall, here at Cocoa Tropical.
Kellogg's Cocoa Krispies, part of this complete breakfast.
Get that Cocoa Krispies taste, leave a chocolatey smile on your face. Snap, crackle, pop.
I am He-Man. Call She-Ra and me at 1-900-909-2233.
We'll journey to distant worlds, explore the universe,
and probably battle Skeletor along the way, huh?
Probably, Orko. There's a new adventure every day. We'll also tell you how to get an action figure or this colorful poster.
Part of your $2.35 two-minute call will go to local science museums.
Get your parents' permission and call 1-900-909-2233.
I have the power!
I feel like I wanna be feeling. Look at the smile on my lips. I've got that M&M's feeling right at my fingertips. So carefree, they fit any plan. Milk chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your hand. You wanna grab onto that M&M's feeling.
Hey, kid, hold everything.
Not now. I'm doing my castle.
I'm going to tempt your tummy with a taste of nuts and honey. Whoops.
Oh, no.
But Honey Nut Cheerios tempt your tummy with a taste of golden honey and crunchy nuts.
Did you say honey and nuts?
Sure. Ooh, it's a tempting part of this complete breakfast.
Hey, you're not kidding.
What did I tell you?
Honey Nut Cheerios.
It's not easy when you're new in town, except when you have something that makes huge bubbles, amazing bubbles. Bubble Thing makes people curious. How can anything make bubbles as big, as giant, as monstrous as Bubble Thing makes them? nobody seems to be able to resist the kind of bubbles Bubble Thing makes. Can you? Bubble Thing makes colossal bubbles, and it's new from Whammo.
Getting into drugs and being high is a stupid thing to do. Be an original and take a stand. You're free to say no. Don't let a friend push you in. Taking drugs, you've got a right to say no.
The fun is back, as you can see, with the 2600 from Atari. Still under 50 bucks, but wait, there's more. There's a stack of new games at your video store. In real sports boxing, the action's rough. If you're gonna make it, you got to be tough. Midnight Magic is an arcade blast. Like a pinball wizard, you got to be fast. Fire Solaris to protect your base, then blast off into hyperspace. The fun is back, oh yes sirree. New 2600 games from Atari.
Nothing like a nutritious breakfast powered by my Super Golden Crisp cereal.
Ahoy, Sugar Bear. Thanks for bringing breakfast.
Sorry, Blubber Bread. All you're getting is vitamin-packed punch. I can't get enough Super Golden Crisp. It's got the crunch with punch.
Calling all kahunas, Sugar Bear's going surfing. And you can get your own surfing Sugar Bear toy free on specially marked boxes of Super Golden Crisp cereal.
The honeycomb hideout.
It's Big Bad Mole, the motorcycle maniac.
Yeah, I want a big cereal with a big taste.
Big taste, honeycomb, big taste.
Honeycomb sweet, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not small.
No, no, no. Honeycomb's gone. A big, big taste. Big, big crunch for a big, big bite.
Honeycomb cereal, part of this big, complete breakfast.
Honeycomb's a big, big bite.
Last time we left Sunny lost in Cuckoo Town.
I've just gotta get home. Even in Cuckoo Town, I can't resist the delicious taste of Cocoa Puffs, the chocolatey part of this complete breakfast. Uh-oh, now it's raining Cocoa Puffs. I'll be swamped in munchy, crunchy, chocolatey Cocoa Puffs. I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs! Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs! Hey, I'm back home.
Oh, Sunny.
Oh, no. Here we go again.
I am the greatest swordsman that ever lived.
Rebel.
Uh-oh.
Renegade.
I trust them completely.
The next great hero.
After them!
The next great adventure. From George Lucas and Ron Howard, Willow.
It'd be fun.
Rated PG.
Starts Friday at a theater or drive-in near you. Check newspaper for listings.
I'm gonna go see that.
You're gonna have me some fun. You're gonna have me some fun.
Wait.
You're all right.
You're gonna have me some fun. You're gonna have me some
fun. I predict huge things for that little guy.
You're gonna have me some fun. You're gonna have me some fun. You're gonna have me some fun.
You're gonna have me some fun. Yeah.
All right, we're back. And before we talk about Celebrity Apprentice, I wanted to mention that I'm loving the new FX series called Justified with Tim Oliphant.
I have the first two episodes to watch yet.
I really dig it. It's good writing, and I like the acting, and it's set in Kentucky, and it's just I'm really enjoying it. And also The Pacific on HBO, that's awesome too.
Yeah, that's been good.
Love the war stuff.
I watched some of that the other day.
You know, I know like it's based on real events and everything, but I just enjoy the production value and everything. And I loved Band of Brothers, and I really can't wait to see more because it's really exciting.
Yeah, so, this last episode with the Bassalone guy taking out that group of Japs, it was awesome.
Yeah, I think it's just going to get better as it goes along too. It's really excellent. And last week I didn't get to mention that, so I'm glad I remembered to do that this week. And let's talk about Celebrity Apprentice. Now, every season there seems to be a Kodak
they might be sponsoring
task.
That's because it's a Kodak world, bitch.
And we just live in it, man. We're just living in it.
With midgets swirling around.
Swirling around. And they're also locksmiths, I think, right?
Yeah, Midget Locksmith.
Whatever happened to that little guy, Midget Locksmith? They need to get him on Tool Academy, I think, you know?
All they right, should let's get do back to this.
An entire Tool Academy of midgets.
Oh, my God. That would be so disturbing.
Yeah, but it would be awesome.
Disturbing and awesome usually go
the
hand in
hand. The little Tool Academy.
Like a midget locksmith.
Midget Mac. But anyway, back to the task at hand, which is to open up a shop and show people how it's just a Kodak moment and we live in it, I think.
To upgrade
or something.
Different cameras and...
Yeah. And that's cool. And that Blagojevich guy, he elects that they should have Sinbad as their task manager. What
Genius.
Is it called? I can't even remember what it's called on this.
Project manager.
Yeah. Yes. And the hot... I'm going to say she's hot. The wrestling chick.
Oh, God, is she hot.
She does hers also for the women... And she seemed to be really, like, having a good time and fun and confident. But Sinbad...
All she can think about is wrestling, though.
I know. I'd wrestle with her.
And she had a weird thing. You know what's funny is on Twitter, when it airs on Sunday night, you can see all their Twitters if you subscribe to them. I've subscribed to Ivanka's, you know, what the hell. And... she said that, give me a break, guys. I put that outfit together at 3 a.m. that morning because we were like, what's that shit on your head? What's that weird doily thing? She's like, give me a break, okay? We had to get dressed really fast.
And that girl's been in Playboy.
Yeah, she's what's her name? Maria
Canales.
Yeah, just Google her name. You'll see her work.
Hot.
Now let's talk about Brett. Brett Michaels.
He's a diabetic.
Oh, is he? Yeah, I hear that. That he has something to do with the diabetes. And, you know, they have that little moment at the beginning with the kids.
Actually,
and
diabetes.
He gives them the check. And he was like, what does he say? You can rock too, man. Or something. Just whatever he says is kind of weird. The kids are like, oh, okay. If he can rock and he's got diabetes, then I can too. So that's
don't
cool.
Don't matter if you got red hair, son. You can rock it.
So Brett, he starts to get upset because no one can understand what the hell Sinbad's talking about.
None of them were. And
I was completely confused.
He was just like talking about, well, see, you know, we got some pictures and stuff and it'd be great. You know, what do you guys think? And he's like, so let's here's a little montage of Brett Michaels being very confused.
Michael, I need to know what I'm doing.
I don't know what to tell you to do, Brett, because I'm not the project manager.
I'm going to get the graphics card to get going. Okay.
Sinbad, every time I ask, I don't get an answer. What I'm asking is, what do you want me to do?
Brett, let me explain how I work it.
Go.
We all got jobs, but we all jump in. Like, what saved us at the diner was everybody jumps in.
Let me ask you guys
what?
A question. When I said Curtis could do stuff yesterday, he was able to tell you guys stuff and you took direction. When I asked Michael, you guys act like an ass to me, like I've created the end of the world. I'm saying, what I'm
you know what?
At,
I don't know.
No one's treating like that. We all just jumped in different things. So what happens
I'm
is...
I'm just finding areas that...
Everybody's filling spots in.
To be filling, I'm just filling
so
it in.
Thinking-
I wear my heart on my sleeve. And I don't want to argue
just
with blows
him. Blows
I just want to win.
Brett's downstairs and he feels like the bad guy.
He's not, but he can quit doing that.
Okay.
I mean, I just wanted to relay that.
No.
I told him that
he's not. You know what? Nobody did anything wrong.
He just feels left out.
I think Brett worries that people think because he's a rocker, he doesn't work hard. And I told him to quit worrying about what people think. He does work hard. It's like a woman who looks good but thinks she's ugly. You can't go, no, you look good. No, I don't. You look good. No, I don't. It's like, girl, please.
Give me out.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Give me out. The show, so give me an assignment. Just give me something.
No, to no, no, nobody's mad, dude.
I'm being made out every time I go to church. Just trust me on this. Every time I do anything or walk or something, they're filming me walk along the wall. So I'm the lazy, stupid bad guy in the show. So I know I did 3 seasons of Walk of Love. I know what they do.
You a grown man. How can I make you look bad? You're the group poison, man. You got women outside
honest,
knocking on the window, man. What kind of security issues? How can you look bad?
What I'm saying is you're getting me hyped.
What the hell is he talking about?
It's like Brett Michaels knows.
Better give Brett something to do.
I don't know.
He lost it.
I think he went back to the Rock of Love. Said something happened to the Rock of Love. No, he said something happened to Rock of Love. He said they did this to me in the Rock of Love, and I said, well, I wasn't there.
Sit down, fellas.
So, Brett, how do you feel about being brought back in? Are you surprised?
Brett had his own word
not
right here.
Why? I'm saying this as much as I love Sinbad as a person. We had a disconnect yesterday. I'm not blaming that on him or me. And I just felt I'd be brought back in.
Should I fire you or Sinbad?
Obviously, I would say Sinbad.
Why?
Because I don't want to go home.
Because he's inarticulate?
I'm here for my charity. I'm here to win it. I think Sinbad today did an amazing job as a project manager, but I think that the first day was just very discombobulated.
Discombobulated. And what I love about that moment is Ivanka's just sitting there nodding, and then he says that, and she just kind of turns and looks at her dad like, what? What did he say?
You know, this guy's a moron.
Just what word did he just say? But you know, did you guys notice the editing? I spotted it. They show a scene where he's sweeping because he doesn't know what else to do. Then they show another scene and the broom is back wrapped up in his package, never opened yet. And I thought that was funny. He's like, he was just sweeping with that, and now it's sealed up in its package.
Well, he's very neat. He likes to put it back in the package.
He shrink-wrapped it.
Shrink-wrapped it.
I'm really bored right here. You know what's funny is they're like, what was Brett talking about? And it's like, he actually articulated, and yes, we understood what Brett Michaels was talking about. You, sir, Sinbad, no one knows what the hell you're talking about.
He only understands Sinbad-ese.
Yeah, he's like, but I don't know. He's talking about Rock of Love or something. I don't know. Just go back to Rock of Love. And they're like, it's like, what? And then the next day, somehow they pulled things together enough to be presentable. But they had that picture on the wall. What I thought was funny, it's supposed to be a giant picture. He's like, all right, we got a picture. Is that tiny picture? It's like, all right, that'll be close enough. Okay. Wow. And they went all over New York taking these stupid pictures, I guess, or down to Central Park something. And then they have that tiny picture on the wall. It was just, and then they didn't think to display any of the product, which the women did great, except their power kept going off and on. But I was actually rooting for the women because the guys seemed kind of like dumbasses.
Yeah, I was too. I was rooting for the women just for the doily-headed wrestler.
Yeah. And you know what? What was funny is Sharon Osbourne went home sick, and she came back, and they put her on cupcakes and water, and she was like sneezing, and then the cupcakes
coffee.
Were like, what was it? Holly Robinson was like, maybe that wasn't such a good idea, because she's like, she's like, I didn't hear about anyone getting sick or anything, Ozzy.
Yeah, because it doesn't happen right away.
Ozzy. Sharon?
Yeah. Okay,
he's at home sick now.
What about that Blagojevich thing, that guy?
And he's such a tool.
He's a tool, but I love the moment where he's outside. Now, was this even real? Because I don't see the guy who's talking about him. He's like, you're a disgrace. And it's like, what? Wait, where's the guy who's saying that to him? Is that like some kind of ADR or something?
Yeah.
Bunny, that brown wire in there.
I just love the one, the woman.
The chick. I'm named after you. He's like, really? Now, I have that clip, and let's play that. But first, before we get to that, here's a little bit more of Sinbad being...
Sinbad?
Yeah, just try to decipher this before we go into the Blagojevich.
Our photo place, they should see some stuff happening. So even people have to say, hey, man, you walk in this year. Even people walk up the street, I know some will be set up. Some people walk up streets. God, I like to capture my moment.
Oh, my
there
God,
really
make it
anything
stop.
Anything that we were asked to do. Someone like me, who I believe is a member of what Teddy Roosevelt called the Fellowship of the Doers, likes to do something. And so, you know, I touched base on some important things that needed attending to. I don't see me as a celebrity. I see me as someone who is the governor of a big state, who's been falsely accused of things he didn't do. I'll be vindicated when the truth comes out. But in the meantime, there's no denying the fact that there's a cloud that's sort of travels along with me.
How do you do, sir? Pleasure meeting you.
George, a disgrace.
No, none of that's true. It's all baloney.
You are a disgrace.
Well, no, no.
Enjoy prison.
Hi.
Enjoy prison.
How are you? Hey, nice to meet you. That guy's angry.
I was named after you.
Yeah. And your name is?
Dana, but in Albanian you say Donna, so
Ron.
My mom always called me Dawn.
Her name is Ron.
Because she loved the name. She was hoping for a boy. It wasn't a boy. It was a girl, but she nicknamed me Donnie.
And how's that named after me?
The girl was so embarrassed.
Yeah. It is true.
My name's not Donnie. Who did you think I was? Who did you think I was?
Donnie, honestly.
Donny Osmond.
Somewhere Donny Osmond's very insulted.
Sinbad, why shouldn't I fire you? You're the project manager. And actually, most people thought on your own team that probably you should
Sharon
be the one
could understand Sinbad, though.
Okay, but of course, I'll take that.
Project manager.
Yeah, project manager. I understand that. But I'm like this. First of all, I think I'm a great leader. I'm a great follower. I'm a great asset to this team. If I'm following you, I get it done. If I'm leading, I'll get it done.
Is Brett manageable, Sinbad?
If I followed you, I won't get lost.
Yes.
You think he is?
Yes. I tell you, everybody on this team is manageable.
If he's manageable, why couldn't you manage him?
Well, if you walk...
I almost would have preferred if you said he's totally a whack job, he's not manageable, and you couldn't have managed him, Mr. Trump. Nobody can. But you really think he's manageable? Yeah. I sort of think he's manageable.
Yes, he is.
He's not easy, but manageable.
He's got manageable hair. Was that bandana on?
Look, the fact is, you lost the task. You couldn't handle Brett, even though you just admitted he was manageable. And you're the project manager, Sinbad. You're fired.
Oh.
Okay.
What the hell am I supposed to do now?
Thank you.
Back to the comedy store.
Everybody think I'm dead again.
Everyone's going to think I'm dead again. I just did the show so people didn't know I was alive, so screw you, Trump.
You know what they say, all them crazy lies on Twitter.
Wow. I just didn't understand a word that guy said.
No.
Wow.
No, none of that's true. It's all baloney.
Yeah, you're right. I'm lying. Now let's talk about 24, Bill. This 24 was had some moments that made me laugh out loud. And first of all, you remember last week a EMP bomb went off. CTU's electronics are down. And they send the NSA there to fix it. But Chloe, she knows a quicker way to fix it, but they won't listen to her. So let's check this out. And also, tech jargon alert.
She needs to hack into the trunk line.
Yes.
Worse than I thought. 90% of these components are fried. We're going to have to swap them out and install new server boards.
Mr. Hayden?
Check.
I'm Chloe O'Brien. Mr. Hastings wanted me to make sure you have everything you need.
We're fine. Ms. O'Brien, thank you.
You're going in through the CLR processor?
That's right. We're going to isolate it from the main servers and create a brand new subnet.
I've done that.
Creating a brand new subnet from scratch. That'll take forever.
Yeah, it really
so Ryan,
up
thanks for
calcium,
your help.
Rhyme,
we'll take it from here.
Look, I think there's another way. I've been looking at the CTU schematics. Why not tap directly into the trunk line?
Because I'm not insane.
Mr. Hayden, we need to make sure those nuclear rods don't get into the city. What I'm suggesting will be a lot faster.
Yeah, and it could make things a whole lot worse.
How could things be any worse?
You reopen that trunk line without system buffers in place, you could cause an overload. Wind
that's
up electrocuting
true, system
yourself.
Buffers, Steve.
Not to mention starting a fire that can burn down half the building.
I'm aware of the risk. I think I can create a workaround.
You couldn't keep an EMP from taking out your whole operation. Forgive me if I don't bow to your expertise.
Ooh.
If you'd stop with the cheap insults and just listen
to me. Look, I'm not here to brainstorm. I'm here to clean up your mess. You need to leave. Now.
Mr. Hayden, I think I found a way to deal with the safety concerns you had with my idea. Here's the workaround.
Oh, okay.
I thought I made myself clear. We're not going anywhere near that trunk line.
No, you sounded like Sinbad.
We really need to do this my way. We have agents in the field who are close to finding nuclear rods, and they need our help.
I'm going to ask you one last time. Get out of here. Get out, or I'll call security.
You get out. Now.
What the hell?
All of you, get out now.
Look. Take a second to think. Do you really want to do this?
Mr. Hayden, I don't want to hurt you. You're probably an okay guy when you're not at work and you're wearing a wedding ring. But I swear to God, if you don't leave right now, I will shoot you. Get out! Go!
God.
Go get Hastings. Good tell him to bring security.
I love the techno babble on 24.
I mean,
it's like they take actual terms and then blend them together into something that makes absolutely no sense.
It's a DDR configuration. I just need to pump the frequency of the receiver.
Yeah, my favorite of all time is...
It's probably just a phantom data stream.
A phantom data stream. Awesome.
I like that building a whole new subnet. Like, wait, it's just a...
The trunk line, that could blow us all to hell.
Numbers, it's all it is.
That trunk line must have like a major power source.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now, the best part of 24 is Jimmy James from News Radio, right? We finally got us some Jimmy James, and I love him.
Screw the small judo man.
And he knows that Starbuck has something to do with the disappearance of that one cracker from Kentucky or whatever. But she gets rid of him. She's like, hey, the EMP went off. That video evidence you wanted, it's gone. There's no reason for you to stay, so get out of here. He's like, all right, I'm out of here. I'm back to WNYX. And he takes off. But he actually doesn't leave. He wants to meet with her boss, Bubba Gump. And what ends up happening is she gets that weird look on her face again and realize now, if you go back to when she was following, was his name Kevin, her old boyfriend, yes. And she had that look and she had a gun with a silencer, where the hell did she get that? That all comes together in this episode.
That's from the armory.
Yeah, yeah. They have those suppressors and stuff like that. You know, you never know when you need to kill someone silently. Now, let's go ahead and check out the scene where Jimmy James talks about nailing her ass to a wall. Let's check it out.
What do you think you're doing going to my boss?
My job.
I've answered all your questions. Why won't you just leave?
I can't do that. I know you're involved in that robbery, Ms. Walsh.
What?
I think you know exactly where Kevin is. I think you're protecting him.
You're out of your mind.
And you're a liar. I'm not leaving here until I know the truth. It'll go a lot smoother for you if you just... come clean right now. It's not too late, Miss Walsh. But I promise you, if you don't, I'm gonna nail your ass to the wall.
Oh my God. Jimmy James? Jimmy James, okay, Steve? He had a great death scene here, didn't he? Getting strangled? Now that's acting. Okay, he's dead. Leave Jimmy James alone!
It's me.
He can't live in any of his side projects, can he?
I know. The helicopter's searching the river.
Wait, huh? She's calling the bad guy. Why?
He should have warned us earlier.
I didn't have time. I was too busy preserving my cover.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Oh, that's bullshit.
She's a mole?
I took care of that problem.
So did I. It came back.
Well, we can't stay here. The police must already be cordoning off the
now,
area.
Now, Bill, was she going to be a mole the entire season, or did they just pull this out of their ass?
They pulled it out of their ass.
I'll call in a few minutes.
Wow. And all, the scene where Jack and Freddie Prinze and the other dude are pinned down... Did you notice that a fourth guy showed up out of thin air?
Yeah.
The agent, I swear, there was three guys, and all of a sudden they're like, and you, and he's like, hey, and it's like, where the hell did that fourth guy come from?
Just to get some shot and killed.
Crazy Asian guy.
Yeah, I'm the agency. Man. It's like, oh, he was riding in the hatchback part. Jack is racist. Now, also, in that scene...
You're Asian. Get in the boot.
But Jack... Oh, he gets back there. He's like, we know he's not driving. He's a terrible driver, guys. Get it? They're like, Jack, it's, you know, it's not the 80s anymore. It's totally racist. It's like, what are you talking about? I'm Jack. So that scene, it was driving me nuts that no one could shoot anybody. They're just like... And everybody's and
then,
missing.
Then what's her name? Blasts them away.
Oh, yes. She's a crack marksman, isn't she? Stax Bauer. I knew they would find a way to bring her back into it.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I love that. Starbucks a mole, and they do it every season. It's just kind of funny. And also, we have special 24 news. It's actually been canceled. It won't be back for another season.
Bye-bye.
Bye, 24.
9 seasons. You overstayed your welcome.
Yeah, they really didn't have anything this season. I was entertained by the Jimmy James, but he didn't last
gone.
Very long. Yeah, I joke that Fox was like, did you kill Jimmy James? All right, canceled. How dare you?
I love that she kills Jimmy James and then just puts him in the wall.
Oh, yeah, there's a vent. She opens it up. Oh, first of all, didn't they call this the interrogation room? Would you really have vents in there where someone could hide?
Absolutely.
Someone could just go clunk, pull it off and go, no, hey, our suspect's gone.
put on an APB. And he's like,
hey. He likes to play hide and seek sometimes.
He's hiding in the bed. And
no need to lock the door behind us when we leave.
What would have been great is she pulls it open. There's a suspect who's hiding in there, and he died. He was never discovered. And she's like, oh, shit, there's a body in here already. I'm going to just move to this. Oh, there's someone dead in there, too. Just dead bodies all over
CT. All over.
Dead.
There's one skinny guy living off the dead flesh. The other.
He's like, cockroach, what are you doing in there?
My precious.
It's bad, Ronald.
Ronald will be. He just grabs her and pulls her in. The door shuts. Never see her again for the rest
Get
of the season.
Get out of Eternia. Or Atrenia, whatever the hell it was.
I'm the king of Atrenta. God, I love Bad Ronald. Man, that would be if they could bring Bad Ronald into the show, it would not get canceled, I'm telling you.
Bad Ronald and the retarded brother. What the hell was his name?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Marky. No, his brother's name was Mark, and he'd call him Marky.
Okay.
How can I not?
It started with a B.
Yeah, what's his name?
I am not weird.
Benny. Benny Stolwitz. I almost had it. But let's talk about Lost, Bradley? Everyone. Huh?
Bradley?
No. I'll think of it.
Bernie?
I'm almost having it. It'll pop into my head. But let's talk about Lost. It was all about Richard. I thought it was an awesome episode.
Oh, terrific episode.
Good episode.
Really cool stuff. I mean, when the episode starts out, it's funny that is her name Ilana is talking about how Jacob told her to protect the six people. Yes. And to just bring them to Richard. He would know what to do. And I love he kind of laughs. He's like, well, I don't know what to do. What is he talking about? And he's like, I'll tell you exactly what's going on. You're dead. You're dead. We're all dead. And this is hell. And
that made me laugh.
Yeah, because, you know, that was like after the pilot episode, people are like, they're dead or they're in purgatory. You know, that's something that everybody has always said. They're like, they're between heaven and hell, something like that. And they're like, no, that's not it. So they were kind of playing with that idea. And I think they did a good job of explaining that, like Richard, what is it, 1817 or something? He's like, I am in hell. And he goes, and basically they said pretty much that, from your point of view, okay, you call it hell. That helps you assimilate deal with where you're at. And that started to make me think about whatever cultures were there before, you know, with the weird hieroglyphics and stuff. They just kind of dealt with where they were their own way. They weren't, you know, they're just like, oh, there's spirits or whatever, the smoke
Plus
monsters.
Plus his state of mind, you know, looking for absolution from killing the man that
right, it starts out with his wife is really sick, tuberculosis, I'm assuming. He goes to see the biggest dick doctor I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then there's a priest. He's kind of a jerk too, isn't he? He's like, forgive me.
Priest, yeah.
He's like, I killed him on accident. It was an accident. And he's like, you still did it. And he's like,
you stay right there while I go molest a bunch of deaf boys.
Yeah, and what was that? He basically was saying that he's going to die tomorrow when he's hanged, so there's no chance for him to redeem himself. There's not enough time. So he sold to his trade ship. And I loved all of that stuff on the slave ship and the storm. And he goes, land! And he's like, the devil is guarding the island. And it's that statue. And I paused that. I had to freeze frame it.
Many great little answers to things right there in that scene. Like, how did the ship get there? How did the statue get destroyed?
Right, and I love that. I guess there's like a tidal wave carried it right into it. I love how it comes right towards the statue and just shatters it, and it winds up. Because a lot of people everyone's like, how did it get in the middle of the island, you know, the ship? And I guess a giant tidal wave just carried it right there. And, you know, you can't put logic into it. It's the Lost Island, for Pete's sakes. And you got to think about Desmond, he arrived at the island the same way in a storm, you know. And, you know, some people were talking about the season finale last season where Jacob and the Man in Black are sitting there and you see a boat in the distance and he goes, you brought them here too. That doesn't necessarily mean that that was the Black Rock. It could have been a different ship. Or I think it was the ship and it might have been earlier in the day and who knows? They might not even be able to see the island.
It may have been a ship with a rogue wave that took them to the island. You never know.
Right. Because...
Well, they weren't quite close enough to be brought in, too. Yeah. Maybe.
Right. They were pretty far off. And because we know you have to get to the island a certain way, and they might not even be able to get to the island. I'm just saying that... I don't think there was any kind of like error there, is what I'm saying, by the makers of the show. But
There's way too much going on for them to make an error like that. They've got everything laid out so perfectly. I'm sure they know exactly what they're doing.
Right. And it was pretty hardcore. They crash on the island, and the guy immediately comes down there to kill all the slaves. He's just stabbing them. Running them through, and that's when the smoke monster shows up. And I thought that was a really cool scene, just like killing everybody outside. You can't even see what's going on. Then he's just about to kill Richard, and he gets pulled through.
Well, I liked how that captain was killing these guys off, because the other people on the boat that had those guys as slaves were dead, so there was no use for them.
Right.
Like, oh, I'll just kill you and you and you.
They say... Magnus Hanzo, the captain, Magnus Hanzo, he's dead. The captain's dead. And so they kind of feel helpless or whatever. And, you know, Alvar Hanzo.
You're right.
Did the, Dharma Initiative. So
I didn't even catch that.
And, you know, they've mentioned Magnus Hanzo several times in previous seasons. Remember Widmore? He was in an auction and he bought the logbook for the Black Rock. Do you guys remember that? It's when Desmond, he's like, I need to speak to you, and he talked to him in the bathroom. He was there buying some kind of book with Magnus Hanzo's ship log or something. And also the Something Trading Company has been mentioned several times, and that's what part the Black Rock was. And remember just the Dr. Linus episode, he was helping Alex study, and it was about that shipping company. Yeah, part of her history book or whatever. So I think it's cool.
It's
how
funny you hear those things, and it even goes back to that book I read years ago, that Bad Twin, that was part of the Lost Experience.
Yeah.
That was, all that stuff was in there, too.
That's so cool how they do that, just so detailed. And, you know, we see Richard, he's basically starving, and I think the actor, Nestor Carbonell, he's just incredible in this episode.
Yeah, Batman Well knocked it out of the park.
Because Richard, he's kind of this stoic kind of leader. He's very mysterious. But here he got to really show his chops, didn't he think?
Yeah, everybody the next day was like, oh, just give him the Emmy already.
Yeah, he was incredible. It kind of reminded me of The Constant when the guy who plays Desmond knocked it out of the park in that episode, remember?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is like, hey, Richard, this Nestor, get ready. We got an episode for you over here. Now, let's go ahead and check out this scene. It's where he meets the man in black, which what I think is very interesting is when Richard before he said Jacob touched me and it gave him the eternal life. Right. Mm-hmm. So you see that scene where, you know, the boar comes in there, he's eating out some dead guy's stomach and he's trying to get loose. He's chained up. He's most likely going to starve and die. And did you see the weird green butterfly fly in there? Did you guys notice that?
No.
There's like a green butterfly flying around, and it comes inside the ship. And I was like, oh, that's weird. At first, I thought it was a bird. But then when I watch it again, it's a butterfly, and it's green. And it's obviously CGI, too. They wanted us to notice it. I don't know. Some people's theories is that Locke, or Man in Black, I'm sorry, he can become different people.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Some people think Jacob become different animals or whatever, like when we saw the horse or whatever. That I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. But anyway, here's a scene where the man in black basically he became Isabella, right? And he came to him and wanted to escape. He basically motivated Richard to be desperate to want to help him so he could kill Jacob and he could get his wife back, which we know isn't going to happen. Most likely. So let's go ahead and check this out. It's when he meets Man in Black and he tells him how to kill Jacob, and then he meets Jacob.
You finished eating. You walk due west. Once you get to the ocean, you'll be able to see the statue.
The statue?
Your ship smashed through it on its way inland, broken into pieces. That's where you'll find the devil. You only have one chance. Put this through his chest. Do not hesitate. Do not let him say a word. If he speaks, it will already be too late. You can be very persuasive.
How can I kill him with this? He's black smoke.
No, I am.
My wife, Isabella, she was running from you?
She was running from him. I'm sorry. I saw him take her, but I couldn't do anything to stop it.
But if you are the black smoke,
you aren't the only one who's lost something, my friend. The devil betrayed me. He took my body. My humanity.
You killed the officers on the ship.
I'm not the one you need to worry about. The devil has your wife, and you are going to have to kill him if you ever want to get her back.
Murder is wrong. That is what brought me here.
My friend, you and I can talk all day long about what's right or wrong, but the question before you remains the same. Do you ever want to see your wife again?
Yes, I do. Are you the devil?
No.
Who are you?
My name is Jacob. I'm the one who brought your ship to this island.
You brought it here? Why?
Think of this wine as what you keep calling hell. There's many other names for it, too. Malevolence. Evil. Darkness. And here it is, swirling around in the bottle, unable to get out, because if it did, it would spread. Cork is this island. And it's the only thing keeping the darkness where it belongs. That man who sent you to kill me believes that everyone is corruptible because it's in their very nature to sin. I bring people here to prove him wrong. And when they get here, their past doesn't matter.
Before you brought my ship, there were others?
Yes, many.
What happened to them?
They're all dead.
If you brought them here, why didn't you help them?
Because I wanted them to help themselves. To know the difference between right and wrong without me having to tell them. It's all meaningless if I have to force them to do anything. Why should I have to step in?
If you don't, he will.
Do you want a job?
Doing what?
Well, if I don't want to step in, maybe you can do it for me. You can be my representative and intermediary between me and the people I bring to the island.
What will I get in return?
You tell me.
I want my wife back.
Can't do that.
Can you absolve me of my sins so I don't go to hell?
I can't do that either.
And I never want to die. I want to live forever.
Now that I can do.
That was a little creepy the way he answered that. But there's so many long pauses between words and lost clips that I have to you know, edit it all together. But what I love is he goes back to the Man in Black. He's like, you let him talk, didn't you? You let him say something, didn't you?
And somebody even posted that knife that Smokey gave Ricardo looked an awful lot like the knife that was given to Saeed.
Yeah, it's the same knife, I'm pretty sure. Okay. Because, you know, Jacob has it at that point. He took it from him, so he's got it. But I swear, the things between Jacob and the Man in Black, I have no idea what's going on.
I love that it's so confusing, yet it's as simple as who's lying.
Right.
Like, it all comes down to who's full of shit. I love that.
And he's got that bottle, and he's talking about how the island is a cork, all this kind of evil. But I was almost thinking maybe he just put it into words that Ricardo at that time would understand. But it might mean more than that. He called it evil or malevolence. But it actually, maybe in like he would tell somebody like Jack, you know, there's an energy in the island. If it's released, it could destroy the world. But he tells someone of Richard's understanding in that time period that it's evil. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just kind of reaching there, but I love the scene where, you know, Richard in present day or wherever, whenever the hell it is, he's totally lost it and he wants to join Locke. And he did. Oh, I love when back in the past, Man of Black says, "I found this," and it's his wife's necklace. Then he buries it, and then he goes to dig it up, and Hurley's there, saying his wife is there, and they have that moment. I thought that was really good, didn't you?
Yeah, that was a throat lumper for sure.
Right, and she's like, she's always been there with him. That was touching. And then he's like, "Oh, and one more thing, dude." She said, "You got to stop Locke. Because if he leaves the island, what do you say? We're all screwed, pretty much."
Yeah, yeah.
So, and what was that? That weird shot of Locke, kind of way in the distance, just kind of like, I don't know. It was strange, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was confused by that, like, because he had appeared to Richard back in time as his wife, and then I was thinking, well, what are they trying to imply? Or I don't know. Or maybe he just was watching the whole thing. I don't know.
Right. I don't either, because I was thinking, now he could appear as his wife again, but could he appear as her invisible, yeah, as a ghost, and
exactly,
only appear to Hurley?
To just Hurley. And Hurley seems to be dealing with that whole, like a whole nother level of communication.
He's
with
kind
the
like
dead.
The Asian guy who's talking to the dead bodies almost. Right.
I did, yeah. You know, at first when they showed Richard wake up, or Ricardo at the time, and it's the Man in Black. At first I thought they were going to totally mess with this. Like, oh my God, he thought he was Jacob the whole time, but he was actually the Man in Black. I thought that would have been an interesting twist. Like, yeah, that's Jacob. And it's like, no, it's not, dude. That would have been a mind F, wouldn't it? But yeah. I guess that would have been kind of hard to do. But also the weird thing about the statue where he's like, you can only come in if I invite you. What is that all about, I wonder?
Maybe he's a vampire, or reverse vampire.
Well, you know, when he says that he just lets people make the decisions for themselves and they end up wiping themselves out or whatever, I thought about how they, whatever culture was there, built a statue as a warning, you know. But what is it called? Toweret or something? And it was something to do with fertility, right?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure.
But maybe as a warning, don't come here, children die. They won't be born here or something. I don't know, some primitive culture, their understanding and what they worship. You know, that's why it was built like that. The people who built the temple and their understanding of things. I'm just thinking that it doesn't really have to do with Jacob and Man in Black. It's just the people who've been there all throughout history, and they interpreted things as they did without Jacob's interaction. And I think it's funny that Richard basically says, well, if you're not going to do it, he is. And he's like, he has a moment like, oh, shit, he's right. he's totally manipulating these people. Because I guess that's the first time he attempted to kill Jacob, isn't it? That's the way it seemed when Richard approached him with the knife. And he kicks Richard's ass, too, doesn't he?
Oh, he does.
Just beats the crap out of him.
That was the first we really saw of him being less than meek.
And that's what, because it's so puzzling why he didn't do anything to defend himself when Ben killed him.
Yeah.
You know, because there's that whole scene where, you know, he's holding a knife and he obviously wants to stab you. And he goes, what about me? And Jacob's like, what about you? And he's just like, son of a bitch, and stabs him. It's like, he had to have known he was going to get a reaction like that. And what did Miles say was his last thought was like, I hope I'm wrong about him. So I don't know. I'm just, I'm loving the show. I don't really have any theories or anything like that, but
no,
I love it.
I try not to get involved in the theory thing.
I can't wait till we see the deal. I know we're going to get the Desmond episode. What the hell's going on with him, you know?
Oh, yeah. Because is he on the boat with Widmore?
Oh, wow. In that locked room, you think? He had to bring Desmond with him?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be cool. I still think to that the first episode, Desmond is there on the plane and he sits next to Jack and then he's gone. I almost wonder, I'm just thinking that maybe Desmond inherits Jacob's position or something. And he can just appear in places and he kind of checks up on Jack or something and then he's gone.
That would be interesting.
I don't know, it's just because there's got to be an explanation for that and I can't wait till we see it. But anyway, loving the Lost. What about you guys?
It's keeping me guessing.
Was it nice to take a break from the sideways stuff?
Yeah, from the Flash sideways.
When it would come back from commercials and it would still be Richard in the past, I'd be like, wow, they're really going for this, man. They're telling the story. Awesome.
I know. I was kind of surprised by that.
But you know what? I kept thinking about the – do you guys remember the season one finale? There was the Hurley Bird. Have you guys ever heard of the Hurley Bird? There's a part where this green CGI bird is on a branch and it goes, Hurley, and like flies away. And he's like, dude, that bird just said my name. Do you guys remember that?
I don't. You just said the green bird. Then there was the green butterfly.
Well, there was the green butterfly. And at first I was like, is that the Hurley Bird? And it's like, wait, it's a Hurley butterfly? But well, no, it was the same kind of color green. So I want to know what the deal with that is. And I'm almost thinking this. I thought about this. I don't know why, but I thought of the tropical island in The Incredibles. The bird was like a camera. But then I thought maybe there's a set of rules that they keep mentioning, right? You broke the rules or you can't do that or whatever the little boy said. Maybe there are certain things like the green bird that just kind of keep an eye.
Watchers.
Yeah, we're watching. Maybe the whispers or something like that. I'm going to go as far as saying the judges, like who's broken the rules or not. And, you know, remember when after Alex died, Ben's daughter, he said, you broke the rules. And he's like, he didn't break the rules. And I think it when Alex was killed, it's because Ben said, she's not my daughter. She's not really my daughter. And then he shot her. I think that gave kind of him leeway to shoot her. Because you're not, maybe it's something like you can't harm someone's family or something. I don't know. I'm really reaching there. I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's go ahead and talk about Spartacus. What do you guys say? Bill, how crazy was this episode of Spartacus?
It was very strange in that it not a whole lot happened during it, not a whole lot of play, but then it
a lot of setting up for things
to explain.
First of all, there's a woman who is cousins to the richest man in Rome, Crassus.
Yes, and they're all very excited by this.
And she would love to spend a night with Spartacus. And here's a moment here where they talk about it, and I thought it was great. Let's start out with this.
There is one small obstacle. Licinia favors the touch of our champion.
Spartacus, that will not be difficult.
Oh, he's always difficult.
In a past that no longer exists, I shall command, and it shall be done. Ah, the champion of Capua arrives. A man who so terrifies Jupiter, the clouds burst and the heavens weep.
My glory is but a reflection of my dominance.
You flatter.
I return in kind.
And the gods take notice. Just when I thought we'd accrued every accolade, yet another falls in our laps from the heavens. Fair Licinia, cousin to Marcus Crassus himself, has personally requested you.
Crassus?
Richest man in the Republic.
A great honor. Who's to be my opponent?
Opponent? Licinia has no interest in watching you fight. Her desires are of a more intimate nature.
I am to lie with her.
And shame all men who follow.
Such things are asked of a champion.
They are. You have concern?
No. I am the champion of Capua. I shall perform all duties required of me.
Bring it to satisfaction and see our fortunes rise along with your cock.
What?
I love the way they talk.
Now, there's this moment where Lucy Lawless's character, Domina, she's like,
yes.
You know, he hasn't had some sex in a while. We should send a chick in there to just make sure he's good. He's a good lay when he has to do it. And they found a really hot slave girl to sit in there. And he's like, get out of here or whatever. And there's that awkward scene where she's like, disrobe. And she's inspecting her for abnormalities in her body. And she's so crass by the way she describes her body. And she must have sex with Spartacus or something else will be replaced there, namely a sword. And I was like, dude. So that was kind of messed up, wasn't it?
Yeah, Spartacus denies her twice. And the second time makes her sleep on the floor.
Yeah, he's like, I will sleep with no woman who is ordered to. So I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, he's got principles, man. And his wife just died. He's not interested in this right now.
And he's got principles, but man, those are screwed up principles.
He was chick did.
He's like, my wife would approve of this, you know. But poor Varro, his wife, you know, he's this blonde, curly locked friend who his wife has become pregnant with another man. He called her a whore and she ran away and she's disappeared. He can't find her anywhere. And they found blood on the floor where they lived. So he's really, you know, upset about that. So Spartacus gets the slave girl to find out something about her in exchange, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, the weird stuff, the disturbing stuff was the stuff with Alethea. Because she decided she wants to have sex with a gladiator, too. She wants to sleep with Crixus. And, of course, Domina, she's in love with Crixus or something. She's in lust with him. She loves having some sex. So she's freaking out about it. She hates her. She doesn't want to do that. So they do something crazy. They wear masks so the woman could anonymously have sex with the gladiator, and he has no idea who she is, right? But he wears a mask too. So she pairs up Spartacus and Alethea to have sex together. And as soon as I saw her with the mask on, I knew that was Alethea. And I was like,
because her body type was completely different.
I was just like,
to the other girl.
Well, I knew that she would do something evil like that, but I didn't know she would reveal it to her the way she did, you know, with,
that was just cruel
with him, like right there, like, oh, you're not done with Sparta. Oh, you know, kind of acting. She's like, oh my God. And he, when he sees who he's having sex with, he freaks out and starts strangling her. But
the pain in his eyes, I was like, damn, that guy's good.
It's like, he's going to kill her. And then the guards take him away. And what's funny is later on, he's like, I apologize, Dominus or Batiatus. And he's like, ah, it's cool or whatever. I got enough problems to deal with. Because what happens is the woman who's cousin to Crassus sees that Alethea has having sex with Spartacus. And she thinks it's hilarious. Like, you know, this will be great. This will be great news to spread around.
Set tongues wagging about Rome.
And she's like, oh, ho, ho, ho. And Alethea's like, shut up, stop, stop laughing. She grabs her by the head, starts slamming her into the marble.
Yeah, I was like, the moment her head hits, you see teeth go all over the place.
Dude,
and then
in her skull, they show it crack open.
Nah,
and I was like,
and at the end, as it's panning back, you see something drip out of her head.
I was like, dude.
I wasn't sure if it was her busted out eye or part of her brain or what.
And the look on Lucy Lawless's face, because she just wanted to teach her a lesson and put her in her place, but she's standing there over the dead body. She's just kind of like, okay, things have gotten out of hand.
Yeah, that kind of backfired.
And I love whenever she has a scene with Batiatus, he's like, what the hell happened while I was gone? How many scenes have there been like that where he shows up and he's like, what the hell, man? I've been gone.
She isn't a very good politician. She can't play people against one another without someone dying.
I've been gone to market. What the hell? Last time I go
I'll
to
be gone 30 minutes.
So she's like, wait, I told her to be discreet. None of her slaves know. No one knows she was here. We'll just hide her body somewhere.
In the wall with Jimmy James.
they move him, push him aside. And stick
marble
her in there.
Vent.
Yeah, marble vent. I love it. Nice little vent here. And then basically now she has Alethea under her thumb. Because she says, I won't tell anyone. It's just be our little secret. And she even kisses her on the lips. And you know that she's got her now. She can make her do whatever she wants. But that scene, that shocking, because they're doing like this raunchy sex scene. Just kind of like, whoa, this is crazy.
And it was intense, man. There was some serious. I don't know how actors can go through scenes like that and not get aroused.
Bill, there's a scene where they're like, prepare Spartacus. And all these naked women have Spartacus there. And they're all disrobing him. He's completely naked. And they're painting gold on his body. And it's just like, okay, I'm picturing on the set here. How are you not just kind of like giggling? You know, like, this is so ridiculous. My life is crazy.
Awesome.
Guys, my life is crazy. I'm telling you. And then there's a scene where they're modeling masks for the woman to wear, and all the women are completely naked. standing there.
Minus a mask.
Right. Yeah. And so it's just like, how did they film this scene without laughing their asses off, you know? It's like, everybody compose yourselves, all right, people? Come on, we're all adults here. But I love how the show went from that to that violent, disturbing scene.
Well, that's perfect condensing of Spartacus Blood and Sand. Like, these ultimate extremes. Like, sexy and incredibly violent.
Yeah. And there hasn't been any fighting, really, for a while, except for Crixus trying to get his feet back under him and become a fighter again.
Yeah, I'm wondering what'll happen tonight.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I love this show.
I always watch it after the show, even whenever I'm tired. I've got it immediately after the show. I watch Spartacus.
And they showed Crixus be jealous. Like, I saw you talking to that guard. And it was
big, oh, yeah, that's right.
She's the slave girl. She stole a key to open the gate so they could have sex. Like, dude, anybody could come around the corner and they would put her to death, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Now, what the hell is she thinking? Wow.
Well, she risked her life for him and he's ready to write her off.
I know, just for that talking to that guy.
Hey, you jealous
between
douchebag.
What, stupid and smart?
Yeah, pretty much, right?
Write that down.
All right, guys, what do you say we do the news? Ooh. Oh.
Going in through the CLR processor?
Oh, yes, totally, Bill.
I'm going through the trunk line. I'm hardcore.
Bill, that's dangerous. What are you thinking?
I don't care. I'll risk my life for it.
And I'm going to ask you one last time. Get out of here.
Oh, my
God.
Get
out or I'll call security.
Hey. All right,
no.
Bill.
No. I'll put a gun on you.
I will shoot you.
All right, Bill. What do we have in the news?
Yeah, I thought she would call Morris to help her, not go get a gun.
Yeah, I guess that actor's not on the show this season or something.
No, he's not going to be on it next season.
Aye, aye, aye.
Oh, boo. That was a low blow for 24, Bill.
Well, 24 has been pretty low.
You
for
just
a
kicked
while.
24 in the nuts.
All right.
Spread my chocolate all over that gun.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, all over it. Forest Lake police used a taser to subdue a delusional man nude in the median of Interstate 35 Thursday evening after he allegedly jumped on passing cars and claimed he was God and the devil.
Oh, wow.
he's extra special. Officers responded. What we didn't know was that it was LaToya Jackson.
The balance between what, stupid and smart?
At 5:42 p.m. to a call to assist Washington County Sheriff's Office and State Patrol, which was further away from the scene in the median just north of I-35, where they found 23-year-old Forest Lake man who, according to several 911 callers, had been screaming at vehicles as they slowed upon encountering him, jumping on a few and punching out their windows.
Oh my God.
Because of my own insecurities.
Peterson said the man who was acting like he was under the influence of a narcotic. Oh no. Ran toward an officer and ignored commands to stop. So he was shot with the taser.
Oh.
Once he was arrested, officers found a syringe in one of the pockets of his discarded jacket that contained what was believed to be heroin. Once in handcuffs, the man began yelling about how he had killed God, he was God, he was the devil, and he begged officers to shoot him. He stated that he had the code to heaven. As an officer on the scene stated, he was obviously in an excited delirium. I'd like to know what that code is.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's like the code to CTU. All right, wow, this is hardcore. A Kirkland, Washington carjacking suspect messed with the wrong vehicle Friday night. A pit bull rescued earlier from an illegal dogfighting ring was sitting inside the car, and that dog wasn't taking any more passengers.
Let me give you one word. No!
Yeah, the pit bull was due to be put down a few months ago after he and more than 20 other dogs were found living in horrific conditions. But
wait, he's living in horrific conditions? He gets put to death? That sucks.
I know, but a dedicated rescue group believed the dog could be saved after months of rehabilitation, placed him with Amber Malena and her family. On Friday night, the dog, Victor, had a chance to return the favor in a grocery parking lot. Amber says she stopped by the store on a routine shopping trip and brought the three-year-old Victor along for the ride. I opened the door to put the groceries in. I was just reaching for my seatbelt, and right as I was turning to click it in, the door flew open, and he was just standing right there. Amber found herself face-to-face with a possible carjacker. The man spooked Victor, but the dog was quick to act. He turned around, let out a gigantic bark, and this man throws himself backward, trips on himself, and falls down.
Yeah. Way to go, Victor.
Victor kicked ass without even having to kick ass. The poor dog still bears battle scars from being routinely beaten and forced to fight before he was saved last October.
Oh, poor little guy.
Yeah, I know. I feel so bad for a lot of pit bulls. My sister has two of them, and they're the sweetest dogs in the world. And all they want is loving. And I think where the whole idea comes from of them being violent is they just want to please their owners.
Right.
They're, like, all about that acceptance. And it just – I think whenever you get bad owners, they become bad dogs.
Discombobulated.
But I'm glad – yeah, they become discombobulated.
Oh.
Poor dogs.
But good on Victor for this – you know, the guy breaks into – or opens the car door, tries to jack it, and – he jumps out at the guy but doesn't maul him or anything. So it shows that he had been rehabilitated enough not to
put a hurting on us, but good.
Attack badly. A Chicago police officer for the University of Illinois is under investigation after his gun accidentally discharged, wounding him in the buttocks.
Oh, dear.
While he shopped at a Vernon Hills shopping center. Police are looking into whether Officer Brian Mallon may have violated department policy. The officers are allowed to carry guns off duty. UIC officers can carry weapons off duty because they're sworn officers with statewide statutory power. He was shopping at a Best Buy in River Tree Court when the .40 caliber gun tucked in his waistband went off. He shot himself in the ass.
Ouch.
We feel it was a true accident. I said I'm not able to get into the level of detail while investigation's going on, but they think the trigger got caught in one of his belt loops.
Jordan, a disgrace.
What the hell? You know, I understand, you know, being a police officer, carrying a, you know, a weapon off duty, but carrying it like you're, like, some sort of badass criminal in the back of your pants?
Well, they've got little tiny holsters. I mean,
exactly. Why wouldn't you wear a holster?
If I was a license to carry one, I would have a holster like a cowboy, you know, just all the time. Wouldn't you?
With bullets in the...
Yeah. I'd be like, dude, I'm a cop. It's licensed. Got my six gun.
I'm a gunslinger, mother effer.
It's like, I'd do whatever I want. You know what I'm saying? Whoa, nice.
Steven, they make those concealed carry holsters, right? That fit right.
Yeah, how many of those do you have, Steven?
I don't have any. I don't carry. I don't carry a concealed weapon.
Steven, if I came at you with this pen, how quickly would you shoot me down?
You wouldn't make it very far.
Oh, you do have one of those holsters. Ankle holster, right?
No, I don't carry.
Check out time.
I'm not that paranoid.
But you are paranoid.
A little, sure.
You're black.
Huh?
You're black.
What kind of gun do you have again? Or guns?
I just want
to make sure that I wear the proper vest when I break into your house.
I have a 40 caliber Ruger pistol.
Whoa.
And it packs 11 bullets, fully loaded.
Nice.
I want some pictures.
See how fortune rise along with your cock.
And just a 12-gauge shotgun. That's it.
Nice. Is it an auto shotgun?
No, it's not auto. It's pump.
You know, I forgot to mention during Lost, I wanted to mention that our new name for the Man in Black would just be...
Mr. Black.
Yes.
That sounds great.
Mr. Black.
That's a good name. Mr. Black.
All right. Big burp there. Sorry.
Your face. Clean off.
Speaking of Bill Paxton, did you get that link I sent you a couple days ago about that Ben Heckerton? He finished his Bill Paxton pinball machine.
Yeah, I did.
It was quite possibly one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
That was awesome.
I mean, he programmed it. There's all these different movie modes that you can trigger and different games and all the audio from Bill Paxton and different shows. It's so cool that this guy, I mean, Ben Heck is just known for his awesome modifications of things. But for him to actually build a pinball table from scratch is just awesome. I love that thing. He could make... I bet you he gets so many requests for things. He could completely retire from any actual work he does and just make things for people.
I know. That's awesome. Just the idea of it and then to do it is really
cool.
Yeah,
to go, I want a pinball table, but let's make it all about Bill Paxton.
Yeah. It's just so funny, man.
The only thing I think
that's it, man.
That table,
game over, man. It's game over.
Yeah, that's what you hear whenever the you run out of balls.
Oh, that's perfect.
But the only mode I didn't see was like a Martini Ranch mode.
Well, no one's familiar with that music. That's why. It's like I know Bill Paxton is in a band called Martini Ranch, and I've only heard one song because of that video that Catherine Bigelow did. But doesn't sound really good to me though.
That's the video that James Cameron directed, right?
Right.
Catherine Bigelow was in it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only song I know. But it's still awesome that the band's actually called Martini Ranch.
Yeah.
All right, last story. Salt Lake City, Utah. Police said a teenager who botched a robbery at a Salt Lake City convenience store asked the clerk not to tell his mother. Salt Lake City police said the teen went into the store early Saturday morning and approached the counter with several items. As the clerk rung them up, the teen tried to sneak behind him and hold a knife to his neck. Good Lord!
Don't do that!
The clerk spun around with his hands up and smacked the teen in the face, knocking him to the floor.
Nice!
You don't have to be such a jerk!
The teen then asked the clerk not to call the police and then added, "Don't tell my mom," before he fled.
Wow.
I hope there's a follow-up story. I want to know who this idiot is.
I like that he just smacked the kid.
I want to see that surveillance video.
Smack.
There's this part that I love in Tombstone with Kurt Russell where that dude approaches him like all tough with a gun tucked in his pants. And Kurt Russell just grabs a gun and hits him over the head with it. It's just like, get the hell out of here, little
That's
punk
coming
ass.
To Blu-ray shortly.
Oh, nice.
I saw a notice. There was a couple movies that are coming to Blu-ray that I'm excited about.
You know what? I like Tombstone a lot, but I watched it so many times that I came to a realization one day. It's like, the dialogue in this movie is really bad.
It definitely is.
Yeah, it's a little...
discombobulated.
Yeah.
But it's much better than that stinking turd...
Wyatt Earp?
That Kevin Costner was in.
Yeah, I don't know
what's going on. That thing drags on forever.
I think they were a little too in love with the material when they made that.
Yeah. And that's news for this
week. You had to think about that.
Huh?
That's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week. I appreciate it.
If you just sit there and wipe your ass with it, I probably wipe my ass a couple times and would just say I wipe my ass with somebody. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I never waste the paper I print the stories out on. I always take it in the bathroom.
Why would Angelo say something like that?
because of my own insecurities.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, though. You know what? I think he might win this thing. I like how they're like, Angelo's totally faking whenever he's in.
I love his chin strap.
Dude, what the? It's got an invisible helmet. It's holding on his invisible helmet. Dude, that's an awesome invisible helmet you got on. Oh, you like this? It protects me from stuff. Oh, that's great.
It's from my own insecurities.
It's protecting me from my own insecurities.
Because of my own insecurities.
Yeah, that's why you have the chin strap. Is that what they call that, by the way? Because that's a good explanation.
Yeah, it's called a chin strap.
I do.
It just goes down a line across your chin.
Because I like the cell shading better.
Cell shading is better, but, you know, chin strap's up there.
It's called stupid.
Yeah, I think you generally have to be stupid to have such facial hair.
I don't think I could even attempt that.
You know, I'm not a fan of facial hair in general because I'm too lazy to, you know, take care of it.
Yeah, just grow it out and do like a Richard on Lost when he had that slave kind of beard.
Yeah.
I'd pull that off well.
Yeah, scruffy, kind of hipsterish.
Slave ship beard.
Slave ship.
Oh, you rocking the slave ship, huh? Yeah, you like this? I got the chin strap. Nice.
The slave chin strap.
It just grows out like a long line.
Oh my god, that would look hilarious.
You can see some punk rockers spiking them.
It's like, whoa, I bet you somebody's trying
the next beard that the guy from Anthrax has.
No, oh, totally. All right, guys, you ready to do the DVDs?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do some DVDs!
HD, Blu-ray, set out of finish on!
DVDs!
Spread my chocolate all over that gold.
Yeah. Wow.
That dude's a hustler.
Every time you play that, it makes me think of that Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh!
It just does.
Whoa.
And,
let me give you
and
one
mainly
more.
The video on YouTube of the grandma reacting to it.
I've seen that. It's just freaking out. Wow. I wonder, whoever did that video, I wonder why they posted it online.
Because of my own insecurities.
Oh.
Why would you show it to your grandma?
Hey, grandma, I gotta show you this shit. It's crazy.
Girl, please.
Videos ever. I can watch it repeatedly and just laugh so hard I'm crying.
What? Two Girls, One Cup?
No, the
grandma.
To it.
Oh, yeah, that is funny.
When she sees it, she's like, oh my god! Oh my! What? Oh,
well,
Jackie!
You know, it's honestly kind of dangerous to show somebody who's old that. It almost gave me a heart attack, okay?
I remember I was like, what is this? And I saw it, and I was like, oh, lesbians. Oh my god!
Well, this is the most disturbing part.
Little midgets swirling inside there.
Oh, dude!
Alright, DVD.
He is definitely not telling us the truth.
Alright, it's made up, okay? Alright, Bill.
Belongs on, like, WWE wrestling.
You are a lying sack of shit! Okay, lady, easy. Calm down. Easy, all right. Lady.
DVDs, Tuesday, March 30th, 2010.
Girl, grown-ass man.
Grown-ass man.
All right, obviously Disney is capitalizing on the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland about a week late, actually 2 weeks late, by releasing Alice in Wonderland, the special on-anniversary edition, which is the, you know, the 1951 animated version of Alice in Wonderland. This is the version my niece just loves. Every time she comes over, I have to put it on. But it's not on Blu-ray. It's just this. I don't know if it's been remastered. I don't know if it what is so special about it, but I'm not going to buy it unless it's on Blu-ray. It's not how it works anymore, Disney.
Right.
I'm in Disney World.
Yeah. Oh, Disney.
Yeah, we're not pronouncing it right. It's Disney.
But I'm confused by that, by the fact that they would just release a DVD.
Flubbing up a bit.
He's not in a Disney movie, okay, buddy?
Snuffleupagus.
It was funny, Emma, the other day, I had it on the Food Network, and they do these cake challenges. Every once in a while, Buddy's in one. She's like, Daddy, Buddy's on here. It's like, what have I done to my daughter?
A judge.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he did one. It was some kind of Santa one from Christmas time. It was the shittiest looking cake. It had a big plastic Santa. And the judges were like, I would have liked maybe him to make a cake Santa, not use a plastic kind of figurine. It's so lame.
Buddy needs to start paying TLC for the jobs he's getting. Because I just noticed there was an article about him doing the cake for like a new Bally's casino in Atlantic City.
Wow. I guess we'll see that next season.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, and he posted a picture on Twitter of his of a food fight or a cake fight they had at the bakery. Wow. So, he's like teasing the upcoming season on Twitter.
Yoo-hoo! Wow.
The fact that I follow Buddy on Twitter is kind of sad.
I need to follow Buddy on Twitter. I didn't even know he's on there.
Does he tell you how a refrigerator works?
Tough every point. Once in a while.
The box truck is basically refrigerated. You leave it running. It's, you know, refrigerated box truck. It'll be cold in there.
Oh, what do you put in the box truck, I wonder?
They got cockadoos.
Oh, I just laughed so hard I farted.
I love the when he would do the, it's my envisionment. I miss Cake Boss. Bring the Cake Boss back, huh?
My envisionment of this.
Flux capacitor.
Wow.
I love that somebody, obviously, I don't know, was scanning Ustream. And popped into the chat room and said, "What? No video on this show?
What the hell's going on around here? No video?
What's with this?
Hey,
the video box is supposed to have the videos.
You expect me to listen to this, huh? My eyes. What are my eyes gonna do, huh? I'm sorry.
It's one of them there video boxes. It shows the videos. All right, next DVD: Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel.
Hey, the Squeakquel, huh?
Yes.
I've been waiting for this.
We haven't seen the movie, but the soundtrack exists in this home, Steven.
No.
Yep. And no. I put on a nice grin, like kind of gritted teeth. Like.
I have to admit, when I was your daughter's age, I had... you know, the cartoon soundtracks.
You know, I can handle the old Chipmunks, but I don't need the Chipmunks singing Beyonce, okay?
No, that's just disturbing.
Huh?
That's what we need.
Need the Jawa Christmas or,
yes,
yeah.
I want to hear Jawas sing songs.
That would totally rock, man. That's all they say, though.
Well, they could, you know, like Smurfs say Smurf for everything.
Don't they also go like, or something like that?
I love the Jawas. I think that's what first attracted me to Star Wars as a kid was the Jawas.
Oh, totally, man.
They're like little midget locksmiths.
That dude's a hustler.
They're little hustlers, Bill. That's what it is.
They are hustlers. That one has a bad motivator. Out from the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel, it has Jason Lee and Zachary Levi. I guess he needed a paycheck.
Awesome.
Along with Justin Long and Anna Faris and David Cross.
I think what it is the box truck is refrigerated. That's all. That's the only explanation.
That's exactly the explanation for this.
Do you have an explanation, Steven?
No.
Yeah, I just, yeah, exactly.
Right, next DVD and Blu-ray is a film, a German film, called The Bader-Meinhof Complex.
Don't do that.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to speak German. It's one of the films that was at the top of A.O. Scott's list as best of for 2009 list. And I've been meaning to check it out for a long time, and I just haven't. I've heard it's not the sort of movie you sit and enjoy. You just kind of sit and appreciate.
It's on Dish Network here.
Is it?
Yeah, I keep turning over and it's always already on, and I'm.
What
kinda,
channel?
I want to say like Showtime or something down. Stars maybe.
It's about this 70s terrorist group in Germany, and I honestly don't know anything other than that, except that A.O. Scott said it was good, and I kind of agree with anything A.O. Scott reviews. I think he's a very competent film reviewer.
Yeah, he was a
critic.
Wasn't he on the new incarnation of At the Movies?
He was, which got canceled this week.
Yeah, I heard about that. Screw Disney.
But you know what's great is Ebert is going to revive it.
Awesome.
He said he's starting up his him and his wife have already started the process to bring back At the Movies. And it sounds like he's going to bring the two hosts back.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to nail your ass.
And he's going to let them use Two Thumbs Up. So,
oh, awesome.
I think with the anniversary of Gene Siskel's death a couple weeks ago and the article in Esquire, it seems like Ebert is, I don't know, something. It's like he's pulled out of his reclusive shell. And now that people know what he looks like and the situation he's in, he really wants to get back into putting great things out. Like just this week, he released his he's doing that Ebert Fest again,
right?
And he released his list of films and all that. It's something I'd love to go to one time, is the Ebert Fest, because he shows terrific films. I forget which one it was that he's getting a 70mm print of that. I was like, ooh, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, he's not letting this ruin his life.
No, it inspires me. It honestly does.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I've got my own issues, and to see someone in that state not letting it get him down, it's really incredibly inspiring.
Yeah, he is, definitely.
What was this? Okay, let me see here, because I got to know what – oh, it's Pink Floyd The Wall, a brand new 70mm print.
Trippy, that, yo.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the film, but that's just awesome. Come on. But he's got some really great movies showing there this year.
You've
like,
seen that, Steven, haven't you?
The Wall?
Mm-hmm.
Long time ago.
Were you under the influence?
No.
Okay.
You need to be for that movie. That's the one with the gigantic ass cartoon man thing. It's like an ass with legs.
Girl, grown There's ass so man.
Yeah, grown ass man.
Grown ass man. That's it.
Perfect.
Wow.
Let me give you one word. No!
No.
But he's showing Apocalypse Now.
I'm going to open a cannabis shop.
Or in Las Vegas.
No, what did she
right?
say? A cannabis club.
Cannabis club.
What the hell's a cannabis club? Just a bunch of friends come over and smoke pot.
She must think she's in Amsterdam.
Wow.
You know what's crazy about that girl? I noticed it last week. She kind of looks like a coke whore version of Miley Cyrus.
Oh my God, she does. She totally does.
Like, I was looking at her like, wait a second. Who does she look like? And I was like, oh yeah.
There's just something about her.
Discombobulated.
Exactly.
Yeah, she's definitely very skanky. Like, the skank level emanating from her is,
you know,
very high.
I was really proud of her this week with her boyfriend, that she didn't go all ghetto. And then they show the scenes next week where she's actually in a fist fight. And I was like, oh, it didn't last very long, did it?
She tries.
Wow.
She tries. It just doesn't last long.
You had to think about that.
Huh? Did not. What the hell?
Next He's DVD. Totally this might job. Be the one for Rick to review.
Oh. Huh.
Dinosaur Valley Girls.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's like one of these stop motion velociraptors with this scary looking chick in one of those like caveman bikinis.
Nice.
I bet you Rick would enjoy that.
Probably lots of boobies in it for him.
Yeah, boobies, boobies, boobies.
Are there any
little midgets swirling inside there?
There would have to be in a movie like this.
Little midgets swirling inside their bleep. Wow.
That's disgusting.
I'm gonna nail your ass to the wall.
Huh?
Speaking of nailing asses to walls and, huh? and Starbuck in general.
Girl, please.
She gonna bury your ass in a wall.
I would like to bury her ass in a wall, but that's beside the point. She needs to maybe possibly visit some acting classes. Because she is the same character in everything.
When she's getting ready to kill someone, she does like this pout look. Like,
yes, yes.
I'm going to kill you.
I'm having a really hard time seeing her as not Starbuck.
It's kind of scary.
Holy crap. That's really scary.
That's what I just said.
She does the same thing. She does a similar thing to Kristen Stewart, who's in all the Twilight movies. Kristen Stewart bites her bottom lip in everything. I don't care what you see her in. Go back all the way to Panic Room. She bites her bottom lip in almost every scene, and it completely takes you out of anything you're watching with her.
It's her, like, her version of Head Bob Smile that Clooney did?
Yeah, exactly. Head it's like, Bob, stop biting smile. Your lip! Stop it! Because I actually rented New Moon, and not because I want to see it, but because Riff Tracks did a riff track for it.
Oh, nice.
And it's supposedly one of the funniest ones they've done yet.
Oh, cool.
So I love Riff Tracks sometimes. They haven't been very good lately because they keep doing movies that don't deserve it.
Yeah. Or remember there was a time where they don't review movies. They were doing movies that I thought were good movies. So I was like, huh? Yeah. What? And I've actually been watching Cinematic Titanic that you've sent me, and I thought they were pretty funny.
Cinematic Titanic, I have been, you know, this is going to sound really bizarre, but I'm proud of them. Because, you know, it's like Joel, it's the original crew.
Yeah, that one.
And their writing is so sharp on some of these.
It is. There's some funny, there are some also like, oh, like really bad jokes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's even funnier. And what was that one? East Meets Watts.
Yes.
It's like the bad kung fu movie. And it's like so bad. And yeah, it's just hilarious.
It's the blaxploitation movie, which is funny because there's this parody satire blaxploitation movie that's terrific called Black Dynamite. That uses the stock footage from East Meets Watts throughout the entire movie.
Nice.
So it just adds this extra element of hilarity. Like, there's moments in East Meets Watts where the cars just blow up for no reason.
Yeah.
And they use that one particular scene like three times in Black Dynamite. It's so great.
And the one called Castle of Frankenstein or something.
Oh, is that painful?
Wow. But there's this great part. There's a little guy in it, a dwarf or a midget, if you will, where he gets in trouble for messing with Frankenstein. And he goes, you go sit down. And he's like, you get tiny timeouts. And I just thought it was hilarious. And he's like, you're not allowed in here. And they're like, well, if he's not allowed in here, why is that tiny chair in the corner and the one he's sitting in? It's like, yeah, why is that tiny chair in the corner? If he's not allowed in there, well, I don't see any other midgets around here.
I absolutely have to, this week, Monday, send out you a copy of their latest, The Alien Factor. It is so funny. It's one of their funniest ones yet because the movie is like Ed Wood quality and it's in the 70s. So everyone's wearing like bell bottoms and plaid and it's so bad. The cop car is like this two door, piece of shit. And it's like, it's just the entire thing is just absolutely hilarious. I have to get it out to you this week.
Awesome.
All right. Next DVD, An Education. This was a Oscar-nominated film with what the hell is that kid's name? Peter Sarsgaard and the incredibly cute and attractive Carrie Mulligan, actually written by Nick Hornby.
Girl, please.
Oh, yeah, Nick Hornby. He's great.
Yeah, and I can't say great. I need to you know, dial that back. It's a good film.
Was that nominated for Best Picture?
It was, and
it was like that one movie where it was like, what the hell is that?
Mm-hmm. And Peter Sarsgaard was nominated for, I think, Best Supporting Actor, and Carrie Mulligan was nominated for Best Actress.
What's Peter Sarsgaard's name in that movie?
Mr. Black.
Oh. Do you remember that, Steven?
Yes. Mr. Black.
He was green as Mr. Black.
That's Harry Shearer doing the...
yeah. Yeah. Your camp counselor.
Mr. Black.
All right. Moving on. Next DVD, The Killer, two-disc Ultimate Edition from Dragon Dynasty on DVD and Blu-ray.
Oh, nice.
Dragon Dynasty is really, really good about their releases.
So this won't have the horrible dubbing?
It does have the original English Dolby Digital mono dub.
Steven and I had so much fun watching that because Mickey Mouse, Dumbo!
Oh, yeah.
But my favorite part ever is the finish your sentence. The guy's like, he shoots this bat thug on a train or a bus or something. He's like, God damn you, cup, you asshole. He's like, coughing on blood. He goes, finish your sentence. It's awesome.
Jason and I wore that out.
I've seen The Killer so many times. There was a time it was just like a religious experience when I first saw that. That's like when I first saw it on VHS. It's like, rewind that shit. I'm watching it again. I love The Killer. It's awesome.
Yeah, it really is a great movie. And is the chick in it, is she blind?
Yeah. She needs a cornea transplant.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay,
the most oddest, like, tragic ending ever. You just kind of have to laugh at how tragic it is, you know? It's ridiculous.
Well, I don't think they were a big fan of happy endings in China.
No, not at all. It's kind of like, does this have something to do with communism? I don't know. Because I always remember, like,
you don't support the state, you all die.
Yeah, in Jet Li, what, Hero? The ending to that, it just takes a left turn because it's
that
about...
That entire film is communist propaganda.
Right. I was like, wait, what? Why would he just... It's like, hey, he's the king. You got to do what the king says and for your country and all that stuff. It's like, what?
It's an incredibly cool movie, but then whenever you realize that the entire thing is preaching about communism, it's like, oh.
And that's why he's a hero? I don't get it.
Yeah, that's one of those funnies. All right, next DVD is especially for Emma.
Oh.
It's the Magic School Bus Holiday Special.
Awesome. She loves that. And what's funny is Lily Tomlin does the voice of the teacher.
Is it the Magic Lesbian School Bus?
I just always think of that David O. Russell clip.
Oh, where she's ripping into him.
Or he's ripping into her, remember?
Well, no, the second one, whenever she's in the car with Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, I've never seen that one. I've just seen the one where...
Oh, yeah, she's just dropping F-bombs at him.
Oh, man, I need to see that.
Yeah, I think that one's even better than the first one.
Oh, man.
Girl, please.
Yeah, whatever, Sinbad. Hey, was there ever a time when Sinbad was hilarious?
No.
All right, just checking.
I mean, it's that simple. No.
He's totally a whack job.
Not even whenever he was doing his movies, like the one he did with Phil Hartman in Pittsburgh.
What was the one where he was like was he protecting the president's son or something?
Yeah,
like,
the first kid movie.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Write that down.
I mean, you know, for...
What? What do I write
for
down?
What? For what? He won the Star Search, you know?
Remember he had orange hair for a long time?
So he wasn't... Yeah. You know, for Star Search, he was funny. For comedians, not so much.
Was he in one of those shows in the 90s?
He was on Different World.
Different World, yes, that's what it was. That's when he had the orange hair, right?
He was the Dave Coulier of that
show. Wait a second. Wait. Hold on a second. He was the Dave Coulier.
Cut it out.
Did he do a Bullwinkle impression?
He was the funny guy on that. He was the unfunny funny guy on that show.
I want to hear Sinbad's jackalope impression.
Jackalope, good luck. Man, there was one time where if I had a gun and saw Dave Coulier, regardless of my freedom, I would have gunned him down. I swear to God. I just would have. Like, no!
Alanis Morissette would do that too.
I would have let out that Donald Sutherland body snatcher sound. Just and just like unloaded on him.
And Donald Sutherland was so skeevy looking in that movie.
No, I would have shot him more times than that. It would have been crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Steven would have unloaded the clip.
I'm no killer. And you know what? I probably would have gotten, you know, I wouldn't have gone
to
jail.
That's only if he was breaking into my house.
I wouldn't have gone to jail. I would have shown them clips of him on Full House. And they were like, "For your son, you're free to go.
Here's America's Funniest Videos. You tell me if I'm free or not."
No, no. It's America's Funniest People.
Oh, you remember it with Tawny Keating?
And before that, he did it with that really irritating blonde.
Yeah, she was some blonde comedian or something.
Yeah, with that one of those really bad Cyndi Lauper New York. That was one of the worst shows I had ever seen. Even as a kid, I was like, this is terrible.
The other day, I mean, like a couple of Sundays ago, I was like, America's Funny, some videos was on. And I was like, this show is still on? But I guess it's like, shit, this stuff pays for itself, man.
It's the guy who hosts, Tom Bergeron.
Do they just get the shit off of YouTube now? Do they even get sent tapes?
No, they do. They absolutely do. I've seen so many videos on there that they've just pulled off of YouTube.
Nice.
Yeah, it's basically web soup.
Oh, God, that show's horrendous.
Well, you know what makes the show horrendous is that host, that Chris Hardwick.
He's like, hey, and you hear the camera crew like laughing. They're like, no, guys, you're nothing like the soup, okay? Sorry.
That guy has been trying to have a career for 20 years. Wow. Wasn't he on one of the Real Worlds or something?
He's
all
over G4 now, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. That channel's freaking atrocious.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, moving on. Okay, the last DVD I
can you name
was
that
Magic
gunshot
School,
by the way, Bill? I always what, know it just from the sound. Where did this gunshot come from? It's a trivia question.
Malone.
No.
No.
Not
Death
Malone.
Wish 3.
No, it's from a TV show. It's not a movie.
I could have swore that was Malone because of the shot and then the drop.
You'll know Malone when you hear it.
Okay.
Oh, because that one he goes wrong, remember?
Yeah. Okay.
Now that gunshot, that's when Ben takes Locke to the cabin for the first time and the voice says, "Help me." And it freaks Ben out. So they go to the pit and he shows them the dead bodies of the Dharma. Yep. That's when he shoots him and he falls in the pit.
That's a good one. That's an excellent sound on there.
Totally cool, man. I don't know why.
I completely thought that was Malone.
Because sometimes
I thought you just edited out the wrong.
Wrong.
Wait, does that not sound similar?
It is similar. Let's see.
Wrong.
I love the like ragdoll physics at the end of the clip.
I love that it goes into slow-mo.
They roll a sack of potatoes down some stairs, I think.
Wrong.
That's awesome.
You know, the way that scene reminds me, I think the Wachowski brothers saw that and decided to use it for The Matrix whenever Trinity shoots the agent.
Oh, yeah.
Because it looks almost entirely, you know, the shot.
Dodge this.
Looks the same.
Why don't you look like a tree and get out of here?
Huh? Biff.
Next DVD is Sherlock Holmes, the Robert Downey Jr., Jude Law one on DVD and Blu-ray. And I'm going to pick this up because I really, really enjoyed it.
Because of my own insecurities.
No, I think it's just a good film. It's
I
fun.
Saw that in the theater and I enjoyed it too. And it wasn't until afterwards, Bill, that I was like, well, you know, the mystery could have been better, but still, I love the playoff between Jude Law and Robert Downey Jr. I thought they were great.
It was really fun, and Robert Downey Jr.'s Sherlock Holmes is just a real prick, but I just really liked it. I think Mike from Chinstroker versus Punter said it had a very like Indiana Jones vibe to it.
You know what? I also like a lot. Some people don't like the Guy Ritchie kinetic editing and stuff, but I thought it worked. And I love the little fight scene where he kind of mentally telegraphs where he's going to throw his punch and stuff. I thought that was really cool.
I thought that was incredible. Just that was the. I didn't think Guy Ritchie had that much creativity in him.
Honestly. Yeah, if you go back and watch his other movies, they're creative, I think. I think the problem is maybe he's too into what he's doing with his cutting and shots and stuff than his stories. You know what I mean?
I think the important thing here was that he had Joel Silver as a producer. And I think Joel Silver tends to be kind of a taskmaster.
Right.
Like saying, listen, yeah, you can do this, you can do that. He's worked with enough directors to know when they need to reel it in. And I think maybe possibly there was some influence there. I could be completely wrong. I could be, you know, totally wrong. But
yeah, I think Guy Ritchie's talented. I mean, yes, he married Madonna, but yeah.
Mr. Black.
Yeah, she's a mess.
She's got Gollum arms.
She does have Gollum arms.
I stole that from 30 Rock. Tina Fey said she had Gollum arms. I thought that
is
was
that
hilarious.
From 30 Rock? It's like those really sinewy, muscular arms, but they're droopy.
I think she's at Madonna's Gollum arms, and I just lost it. One of the funniest things I ever saw on 30 Rock is she Jack goes into her office, and she's kind of freaking out, messing with her jacket. And he's like, what are you doing? She goes, I have tricks up my sleeve. And he goes, way to go, Lemon. She goes, no, I literally have trick cereal up my sleeve. Because she was like pouring a bowl of cereal, and she pours a bunch of marshmallows out. I thought it was a good visual joke. And plus, I love tricks.
I would watch that more if I didn't completely despise Tracy Morgan.
Oh, he's good on that. That's a good vehicle for him, though.
Okay. I just need to watch more TV. Just need to do it.
Now, some people say you shouldn't watch more TV, but
I don't watch enough for the show we do.
Let me just say this. I just love television, man. I love television. When I'm watching Celebrity Apprentice, I have a grin on my face the whole time. And the what I'm thinking while I'm watching it is like, this is gold for the show. That's what keeps me going during the week.
You know, I think my problem is that I would either – man, I don't want to sound like a pretentious asshole. I would honestly rather read a book or play a game or watch a movie than watch TV. I don't know. There's just
I can understand that, but it's just I get genuine enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, and I bet you I would too if I just put more effort into it.
Yeah, I used to just love watching movies. I didn't watch hardly any TV.
I go through phases where I'm watching movies like all week or whatever, but –
and
television's just, you know, it's now baby.
Now I hotel it a lot, so it's, you know, just sitting in hotels watching TV.
Do you use a sling box? A sling box?
No. No.
All right. No. Don't get all defeated.
No,
it's okay.
Sling box, Steven?
Please pack your knives and go.
Oh.
No, I looked into it.
I'm thinking about it. Twitter, Bill. But anyway, Bill, what else we got?
Okay.
You should really pay more attention to what you're doing.
Speaking of television, a show I never really liked, but I admit it had good writing, mainly because of Aaron Sorkin. That would be Sports Night, the complete first season.
Spread my chocolate all over Cancun.
Oh, I remember that episode. Woo!
Yeah, that's when Robert Guillaume got all crazy.
We watched that. Heather and I watched the first season of that, and I was like, why are they talking so fast? Let's go to the next
Aaron Sorkin writing, man.
Yeah,
they've got a
snappy
zinger
dialogue, Steven. Just like they keep going. Whatever happened to Robert Guillaume?
Whatever happened to predictability?
Is he all right?
Yeah, I think he had a stroke, but he's recovered.
Is he a grown-ass man?
Yes, he's also Benson.
I love Benson.
Ba-da. Ba-da. I love that theme song. All right, next DVD, Steven Seagal, Lawman, the complete season one.
That's pitiful.
Yeah, I know. Who the hell would own this shit?
Come on, man. Lawman. Why the mama let him go?
was an unusual concoction, whatever it was.
Now, you guys remember, when I think lawman, I think this every time.
All right, that's a big hand.
Yeah! Remember that lady? The doo-doo lady. Remember Steven? Yeah! It was all downhill from there after that episode.
Was that the first episode?
Yeah, that was the first episode.
It was.
Wow.
I ain't tripping me, so I'm going to take my lip.
I love it. Whenever Steven Seagal talks to a
minority,
yeah, that is when the shit is awesome. Am I right? That Come is... on.
I'm about to call my mama.
Wow.
Marijuana, like this.
No, mama wanna.
Mama wanna?
Wow.
I ain't tripping me, so I'm going to take my
life. I know. That's what you said. Okay, dude. Jesus.
You ain't
They're going home, and we're going home, and we get ready to wrap it up for the night.
And right.
The best feature of Steven Seagal Lawman, we're going to make a huge bust. Oh, wait. There's nothing here.
I know. He would always do that. Like, all right, we got a tip off from our CI. Hopefully he's not setting a trap for us. And it's like,
yes, he's setting a trap.
Wow.
That's your baby.
Huh?
The cars are going to pull in, and then someone's going to shoot an RPG at the first and last one.
Real strong smell of weed in here, man.
Steven, this is my favorite of all time.
Now I'm hoping you ain't got no prize, man. You got a misdemeanor. Nothing. You got nothing, baby.
Ah, yes.
What the hell is he calling baby?
Some black gentleman.
No one puts baby in the corner.
How did the mama let him go, Steven?
I don't know.
He broke off his leash.
So what we're saying, everyone, is go out and buy Lawman. And then download those episodes where we talked about it.
Yeah. All right. And that's DVDs for this week.
Awesome. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. Oh, sorry about that. No, seriously, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
Do you guys, I mean, I want you to admit something. You guys miss Buddy as much as I do, right?
I do.
Covering Cake Boss every week.
Yeah.
You know what? I was just thinking about when we were talking about TV. Steven, you know, used to record shows on VHS. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And on weekends, we would watch a bunch of recorded VHS shows. We'd get like beer or whatever, candy, fast food.
We were time shifters.
Yeah, we would watch like old 90210s, Melrose Places,
Taquitos, and
Models Inc., whatever bad show was on at the time, we would watch it.
You would
it.
Eat Taquitos, or you would watch a show called Taquitos?
We'd go to Jack in the Box.
Oh, Jack in the Box had the Taquitos for a time. You know, they were just microwaving that shit, but like, man, this shit is good. Man, I'm eat this shit up. You know what I'm saying?
No, none of that's true. It's all baloney.
Hey. All right,
there's no
Bill.
Bologna in those taquitos.
All right, let's move on. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs.
You're welcome.
See our fortunes rise along with your cock.
Thank you. Good night. For all you can try the veal. And
yeah, there's another cock.
What is he talking about? All right, everybody. That was episode 196 of Nowhere on Mulberry. Thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate it. You listen to us talk a very long time about things that don't matter to some people. They mean a lot to us, damn it. Right, Steven?
That's right.
Right, Bill?
Yes.
Yeah, gravitas!
Unleash the Kraken!
Yes, unleash the Kraken! You know, when I see that movie now and he says that, I'm just going to laugh out loud because I'm going to think about Liam Neeson going to the potty. But seriously, everybody, I hope you enjoyed our film, television, and pop culture talk. And you enjoy the show. If you do, drop us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. I got an awesome email from one of our listeners, Bill. Uh-huh. Christopher Ivy, I believe. And it just came at the right time. I was kind of bummed out when we, you know, we don't get enough feedback. Yeah. You know, we've said it many times, like sometimes when we don't get a lot of feedback, it's kind of like, oh, okay.
A little late in the week this week on the forum.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like Michael said in his voicemail, it is a really long show. Like, it may take some people a couple of days to hear the whole thing. I understand that. But I just want to hear something. Hey, was it funny or whatever? You know, it's just...
Just stop and say, hey, I've only gotten this far, and
needy.
I love this
Who
part.
Who cares, you know?
And Chris actually signed up on the forums. And
awesome. But he told me about how much the show meant to him and stuff like that. And it was... I was like, Bill, that's it. You know, that's enough to motivate me to do the show. You know, I know, you know, there's people like Adam and Rick and Ross and Sean and Mike and Luke and... We have plenty of listeners that love our show, and they tell us, and I love that. And thank you guys for listening and supporting us. And I hope that you enjoy our talk of Jimmy James and Sinbad and stuff like that.
Discombobulated.
Discombobulation.
Is Sinbad dead? Did he die on this episode?
He actually had a stroke during the boardroom.
He was actually – it was kind of like Locke. You know, we thought you were dead. He's been freed from the island, is what it was.
Like Abe Vigoda.
Little midget swirling inside there.
Yeah. I want to know what's going on in that dude's head. Tommy.
I honestly don't think there's a whole lot going on.
We need to have guests on the show like Tommy. Like, what's up? And he's like, but Fridays, you know that dude's partying, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah, man, it's 27. It's like, what? That's the weirdest interview we ever did, but... Also, if you'd like to call and leave us a voicemail at 1-206-202-3491. And also, you know, if anybody else wants to sit in on the show and do with the news or DVDs, we'll have a guest from time to time. And just tell me if you want to. Have a decent Skype, like really high quality like Adam had last week. That would be good. Right, Bill?
Yeah, as long as there's no microphone popping or...
It actually didn't sound that bad.
No,
after
we levelized it and got it put together, it didn't sound bad.
And I gotta say, Rick, I should comment because you know I've commented plenty of times when about bad sound quality on his voicemails. Mm-hmm. It sounded pristine this week.
It did. Fantastic. I wonder what he's – and so did Michael for you know saying that it was a crappy.
Yeah, it sounded great.
Yeah, it did. It sounded really, really nice. So
yeah, that was sloppy, real sloppy.
No, it was good. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, wow. we're sound Nazis of the highest order.
Put a hurt on us, but good.
No, Bill, we are audiophiles.
Oh, okay, not sound Nazis.
Audiophiles. We have special diamond needles as we play our LPs.
Oh, and I've got to thank the guys that have sent in the new intros that we're using.
Yeah.
I think you used Dan from Cult Fiction this week. And I got a couple. I got one from Ian Loring from Cinerama and Jordan McGrath from 35mm Heroes and EatSleepLiveFilm.com. So you'll be hearing those in the coming weeks at the beginning of the show.
Just don't send too many because, remember, we're ending at 200.
Yeah, at 200 we'll be done. So we only got room for, I think, two more.
Right,
so.
That's what I'm saying if you want to sit on the show, you know. but those of you who are supporting our show, I appreciate it very much, and I wish you nothing but fortune. Right, Bill?
Yeah, because we're not getting any
eyes along with your cock.
Say what? Batiatis, what is he talking about? Batiatis talks about chickens a lot.
Yeah,
I've noticed
he's
show.
A big fan of Popeyes.
He loves
it. He went there when they were giving away the free chicken and they were out. He was really disappointed.
He's like, screw gladiators, I'm starting a chicken farm! You just see chickens running around as they're fighting.
Cockfights. So funny.
Yeah, it's like Spartacus is like, hey, what the? I'm champion.
We eat the losers here.
Next year he's going to actually put razor blades on their ankles and make them fight it out.
Here's the true champion of Capua.
Super chicken.
God, I would love that. Super chicken. Super chicken. That's basically what he sounds like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Super Chicken. And Fred, his gay lion sidekick.
I saw
Super chicken.
Snacklepuss.
Dude, Fred is totally gay if you've seen that. Super chicken.
That explains why he's hanging around with Cock.
That you're right. That totally, I can see how that whole thing is like an inside joke. It's like no one ever got it. Bill, you just deciphered it, man.
It's like exposing the secrets to Lost.
Oh, you totally did. Nice. And we should just end on that note because that was genius. All right, everybody. See you next week. Have a good one. Woo! Join us in Bad Company. Help us kill people. Laters.
And I'm going to ask you one last time. Get out of here. Get out or I'll call security.
Good times roll. Woo!
That's really scary.
No, none of that's true. It's all baloney.
He's totally a whack job.
Because of my own insecurities.
Checkout time.